The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun, you know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one?
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the police.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, our last show before the weekend. And what a weekend it will be, sitting around watching to find out who the Patriots will play in the divisional round, or as Andy would like to call it, the conference semifinal round, right? Is that a better way of
sure, that's okay. Better. Okay. I'm not
have
married
that
to anything.
Yet?
No.
You should tweet that out yet. Soon. Not yet. What? You shouldn't tweet that out yet. You should tweet it out soon. I'll go back to doing my little notebook. No further questions.
Developing story, Fred.
Yes.
Apparently Andy Reid very close to Kansas City, which would mean Scott Pioli would no longer be close to Kansas City, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, because it sounds like Andy Reid, and by the way, you're listening to PFW in Progress, web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. I heard that Reid said that he would be bringing Tom Heckert with him.
Yes.
And he's the GM.
Yes.
Right?
He was the GM last of Cleveland.
So that would mean Scott Pioli would be out there.
Yep.
And then where does he go?
Lord only knows.
You know, I've speculated maybe the Jets.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal to inject even more life. And, you know, it seems like every 3 or 4 years we get a little reboot of the Border War, the, you know, Mangini
right.
or
right.
Ryan. Or every few, that would be a nice
reboot. Because he's
reboot.
From Connecticut. And
worked for the Jets.
Yeah. So.
I think it would be phenomenal.
It'd be great.
He worked for the Ravens.
I think the only thing better than that would be if Pelion went there. Then that would be even better.
Oh, I think Pioli would be better.
Not in terms of my hatred.
Oh, I think Pioli'd be better.
You know, I would root harder against Pelion than Pioli.
But yeah, it'd be interesting because there's the musical chairs are going on right now. Like Lovie Smith is in Buffalo, and even Todd Haley might go back to Arizona. They want to interview him.
Right.
You know, there's definitely going to be some retread coaches and some new coaches because, you know, there's the Chip Kelly, the young coaches, but there's also the Mike McCoy. You know,
the guy from Syracuse is getting
Ray Horn. Yeah, the college. He's among the O'Brien, Kelly, and what's his name? Maroney?
Yeah, Doug Marone from Marone.
Marone.
Yeah.
Those are the
might
three college coaches. Then you have Mike McCoy, the offensive guy from Denver and sort of a quarterback's guy. Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator.
Why isn't Brian Kelly getting any love from Notre Dame?
I believe he will be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I believe he will be.
Oof.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. In some of the college football stuff that they've had the last few nights previewing the bowl games, they've talked about Brian Kelly
like him.
As well.
I would never hire him.
I'm not sure his
act. Hothead.
Yeah, his act might not go too well.
Yeah. He's too much of a hothead.
If I were him, I'd be trying to do the Charlie Weiss 10-year extension at Notre Dame thing.
Yeah.
Bilk them out.
I mean, what's better than being like the all-in-charge college coach?
Well, Notre Dame doesn't really fall under that for me because I have always included the weather and young co-eds walking around all the time as part of the atmosphere you get to be in forever
right.
if you're a legendary coach. But I'm consistent. I would always want the college job. To me, that's just you get kids. You know, I think there's a little more molding you can do. You don't have to deal with contracts and egos. And I think college would be a lot of fun.
There's so many things on the side, issues that I think would be great for college. I mean, I'm not sure that they matter to anybody else, but just the idea of being a big time football coach and going to the basketball games, you know, and that kind of stuff, that camaraderie that you get.
Oh, you're a god,
being part of an athletic department.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I don't know if that would really matter to anybody else, but I would find that very appealing.
Walking into the boosters like dinner and like basically being
it's like
down to you.
I was talking about the kid Denard Robinson from Michigan,
sure.
the quarterback, running backs. He's a slash kind of player. They always show him at the basketball games. He's going absolutely crazy rooting for. I think that's awesome. I think to be part of something like that, that's not just about you. It's about this whole thing that you're
community.
Part of.
Yeah, it's a community.
You don't get that in the pros.
No.
Now you don't get the prestige that you get. In the pros, being in college, but I would take that.
Yeah,
it's pretty. I mean, if you're good though, you get pretty.
I mean, there's a couple. I mean, Nick Saban's as big as you can get.
Plus,
Joe Paterno, Bobby Bowden, those kinds of guys, you can be legends.
Plus, even the guys that aren't, even the guys below a notch below Nick Saban, you still make decent money. Plus, I'm sure your housing is paid for.
Yeah.
Your transportation,
car, everything.
Oh,
students.
The money in a lot of ways is more because not only you get the salary, but you get all these other side.
You essentially make $5 million a year with zero expenses. You put that in the bank because everything else is taken care of. Your kids' education at the school, your wife's either by the school or by the boosters, pretty much everything's taken care of.
Nike.
Yeah.
Speaking of new jobs, I
I've been meaning to tell you guys.
I was thinking, Andy, I think that have you ever thought about becoming a personal trainer?
I was a personal trainer for a while in college.
Well, that was like a long time ago.
Doing it all the time. No.
I mean, professionally.
No.
Doesn't really interest you?
No.
Because I could see you, maybe being a decent personal trainer where you don't, you really are serious about it and people who want to do serious work would hire you because they know you're not going to do any nonsense.
Like a therapist? Like a physical therapist?
Physical.
But no. Not that kind of a therapist.
Yeah. Nah. I don't like people.
Okay.
I mean, he does pretty much confirm all of our thoughts.
People and schedule.
He hates
people. If you want to be a personal trainer, you kind of are on call all the time. You do a lot of that stuff.
No, you set your schedule.
Yeah, well, now you're limiting your client base.
Well, yeah, but...
I only work from 9 to 5.
A lot of them do that.
I don't think so. A lot of them, you're getting pre-work, post-work.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you reach a certain point.
Exactly.
But I think I'm not going to start out thinking I'm freaking Jack LaLanne.
When you're building your business, for the first few years, you have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when I was in college, but you had a lot of professionals who wanted to meet you at 6 a.m., get a workout in before you go to work.
Right.
Or, and then you're at the gym all day because if you have a 6 and you have a 10 and then a 2 and then an 8.
Don't tell me you didn't like that.
No,
that's
I didn't.
That's the part of it that you like.
But I was in college. I didn't have kids and a family and want to do. I mean, I really didn't have anything else I needed to do.
But
when he was in between clients,
you could build the training facility on your property.
And it's also the field is sort of changing. It's a very unique field. You have to do nutrition with it. You have to do other stuff with it a lot of times. And it's also morphing towards some of the group training and the young athletes, and there's just a lot of different.
Well, the young athletes are where it's at.
Well,
you couldn't have any female clients.
I would have an enormous erection.
It
it's actually the wind
the
pants.
Oh, God. All right. Sorry I brought it up. All right.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. How about those Louisville Cardinals last night?
About them.
It's an ass whooping.
Upset in Florida State, according to the Boston.com.
That was something else.
Your paper.
What?
Boston.com. I always skim just their sports headlines to see what I'm missing.
Yeah.
Two of like the six were wrong. One said Louisville, you know, upsets Florida State in bowl. No, it's Florida.
Right.
And the other said Ray Lewis set to retire after playoff win.
Oh, boy.
Well, what if they don't win? Is he not retiring? Right. And if they do win, is he retiring and he's not going to try to go to the Super Bowl because they might lose the next week?
if they beat the Colts, he's all done.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Overnight headline writer or whatever on Boston.com struggled a little bit.
Yeah, I guess
struggling.
So. I guess so. So what news are we covering here? Patriots had open locker room yesterday, late afternoon. Pretty active locker room.
Yeah.
You know?
I had a nice one-on-one for our TV show with Trevor Scott.
Yeah.
Wasn't all that active an interview, but he's a nice man.
Yeah.
Aqib Talib spoke for a long time. Poo-pooed any talk of a contract. You know, he's waiting that after the season. His quote on his health about last week was, if he would have told me to play, I would have played. He told me to chill, I chill.
Right. I heard him once at one point say, you got to ask Bill that.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had a couple ask Bills.
Yeah.
He poo-pooed momentum. I asked him that question, if the defense got anyone, you know, I know we do. We prepare for our next opponent. That's what we do. It's not about a momentum or anything.
Right.
He's done a great job becoming a Patriot in the spoken word and the locker room and all that crap. I'd actually prefer he do a better job becoming a shutdown corner. Well, I think his fitting in has not been any, you know, everybody worried because of his history. That has been the least of his problems. I would say the problem has been he hasn't been that good on the field, hasn't covered all that well, even though they've been better with him out there because McCourty goes to safety and all that. I'd like to see him be more shut down.
Fits and starts for him. He's got to get out there more consistently so that he can...
Fits and starts? Is that a common term?
I guess.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means it's been uneven. It's been, you know, like you take one step forward, two steps backwards.
Heard of that one.
You know, that type of thing.
Fits and starts.
Fits and starts.
You sure that's a common?
Yes, I am.
Now, is that a sports term or a life term?
More of a life term, but the old guys used to use it in sports a lot.
Fits and starts.
Yeah.
You get knocked down, you get up.
Right. Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
That's all I was thinking of when he said that, but I didn't know if anybody else would get it.
Aaron Hernandez spoke.
Yes.
Were you there in that cluster?
I was not.
Okay.
But one of his messages, and clearly Bill has done a good job with this. He got a little snooty with a reporter yesterday about the week off. It's not a week off. It's a bye week. It's a week of work. And Aaron Hernandez sort of regurgitated all that, a week to get better. And then they'll go into the weekend with the time off. Even that is to be used to get better.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have tomorrow off, but, you know, and they'll
have
the
Friday, Saturday,
and
Sunday.
They'll have the long weekend, I was going to say. But it's been a full day of work otherwise.
For some, not for Tom Brady.
Well, he's there. I mean, doing his thing. He just wasn't out of practice, as far as we know. You know? So.
That's what he did last year, and it worked out fine.
Exactly.
He went to the Super Bowl.
He's fine. Tom Brady's fine. Leave Tom Brady alone. I saw Wes Welker doing a one-on-one with someone from the Globe. So,
Shira Springer?
Yeah, so there might be
The Globe is where Shira Springer's working on some big story. She talked to Brady last week. She's talked to a number of players. Welker yesterday. I don't know if it's a playoff preview, if it's a feature, organization. I don't know what it is, but there's something big from Shira Springer.
Okay.
Coming.
What that could be, we don't know.
We'll find out. We'll wait with bated breath. Yeah. Usually a lot of her Patriots stories are injury related when she does stories.
Yeah.
I don't think this one is.
I haven't really seen much of anything that she's done lately.
No, not lately.
Not a bad gig.
Not a check yet?
Oh, you mean in general?
No check.
She doesn't actually work?
No, well, I haven't really seen her name in the paper.
And you read the Globe every day, pretty much.
I get the Globe delivered.
You angling for her gig? How do I do
nothing and yet still get paid?
All right.
But not a lot
of
news.
Open the door wide open for Fred right there.
Work for PFW.
You've been doing it for me for 14 years.
And our own Adam Jones... debuted his nighttime gig on 98.5 last night. And
none other
listen?
Than Jonathan
his
Kraft.
His first guest was Jonathan Kraft.
Anybody listen?
No.
I did not listen. I heard the crossover.
Yeah, I heard that too.
As I was leaving, and he was not there yet. And then shortly thereafter, I heard that Jonathan had said that Bill Belichick will be the Patriots coach for years to come.
As long as Bill Belichick wants to be the coach.
He didn't say that, but I would think that you are correct.
He's got him chained to his desk. You go nowhere.
Yeah.
So there's that. You can take that for what it's worth. But, yeah, good guess for our guy, Pac-Man Jones.
For all we know, the Patriots signed him to some type of lifetime contract that as long as he's coaching, he's a Patriots coach.
Oh, that I could see.
Yeah.
I could see that, but I mean, I don't think you can make him coach.
No.
Like, if he decides that if they win the Super Bowl, you know, we were talking yesterday.
Get out there!
They were talking yesterday about there was a lot of speculation last year that if they had won the Super Bowl, he was in such a lighthearted mood all week with the media, and it was sort of his preparing to walk off into that into the sunset. And if they had won, now what if they win this year? Is that a possibility this year?
Sure,
maybe.
Well, that we talk about.
Do you think there's any ego involved between the two?
Oh no,
no. We always talk about, you know, Belichick, Brady. Without Brady, you think either of the two egos are thinking, I want to win one without him?
Oh, well, absolutely. It's funny you say that because
in places where,
you know,
people
we talked
don't
about
read
that
about
yesterday.
Yeah. Talk about
Chris from Milford, Connecticut wrote in. He said, I heard from multiple sources. I like when our listeners have sources.
Yeah,
that's good.
Someone's
we
got
don't.
It. We don't.
For a long time, that Belichick is very adamant about winning a Super Bowl without Brady, so there is no thought about his success being strictly tied to Brady. I say Brady gets one last extension, finishes career in New England, and then BB stays for another 3 years, and then Josh takes over. I mean, we're talking 10 years down the road.
Well, I was that's what I was getting to. Is Bill often said, I'm not going to be Marv Levy, who was, I believe, 70. So he's within 10 years. And Brady keeps saying 10 years. Like, he keeps kind of, it's a moving finish line that's always 10 years out.
Right.
And, like, I even joked to Eric upstairs, you know, Brady announces his retirement or something, and then Bill retires, and then Brady comes back with McDaniels or, like, some Brett Favreian weird. Because I don't think they would ever express it, but I think they're two very competitive people that, I'm sure in the back of their minds, somewhere way back deep, you know, could I do it without him? Would I do it without him? Should I do it without him? Can I do it without him?
Right. What would I do without him?
And I think that would be a very interesting, intriguing storyline. Wow. And then with the other, like if Bill retires and Brady wins a title with McDaniels, then does Bill get the itch to come back and go to a different team to win a title with that team to prove, see, I can do it without him too?
Right. I don't know.
It would be.
Now, you said when he leaves, he's done.
I think so.
Great fodder, though. I mean, it's great talk. But I agree with you, Fred, that the larger point you're making, if you're going to say Brady signs an extension, so he's got 2 years left now? Isn't he through 14?
I think through 2014.
He's through 14, right?
Right.
So now,
that was Bill's original, too,
so let's
right?
just say, well, that we know of, 13.
A long time ago in
Michael
Smith's report.
Yeah, that's Michael Smith from, like, 07. So for all I know, he's through 2022. At this point.
And I got to think he got a raise at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would think.
I don't think that 7.5 is holding flat.
I would think that's a safe assumption on your part. But if Brady's 2 more years and then he signs an extension, even if it's another 2-year extension, which would be a very short one.
Right.
So, and then that's 4 years from now. And then he says Belichick staying around for another three years.
Right.
So you go, I mean, Josh would be a fool to wait around 7 years to be the heir apparent.
Right.
You know, he'd be letting a lot of other opportunities pass him by.
Unless he definitely knew, and they're paying him well as an offensive coordinator, and he's in no rush, you know?
Yeah,
he's pretty young still.
I think that would be
he is young.
It's not like he's a 40-something who goes,
but again,
I could be 50 by
the time. Let me tell you something, and that might be true, but it's not true unless Robert Kraft wants it to be. You know, it's not Bill Belichick who's deciding he's my heir apparent.
I agree
with you. It's Robert Kraft deciding.
I agree with you on that. I agree totally. The part of it, too, though, is, I mean, I think you can make an argument for Josh against wanting to do that in the first place. Like, what is so attractive being the guy who replaced the absolute legend?
That's right.
So now you're going to wait around 7 years to be the guy who replaced, you know,
the guy who's going to fail?
Yeah, that's hard.
Unless you're the greatest ever, beating the greatest ever, you're going to fail. No matter what you do, you're going to fail.
Well, I mean, it'd be interesting to look at,
particularly,
you know,
7 years from now. Now you don't have Brady in the equation.
Oh, no.
Guys who replaced living legends. Tom Landry, Don Shula. Now, Bill Walsh, Seifert had some success, but it was very short-lived.
Jimmy Johnson.
You know, these guys that, you know, left, living legends, who replaced them, were they able to have success? It's very hard.
Well, some have.
Yeah.
I mean, not living legends, but Tomlin taking over for Cowher was certainly successful.
Cowher taking over for Knoll, right?
Chuck Knoll?
Yes.
Didn't Cowher take over for Knoll?
Yeah. I just think Cowher's overrated, so that's why.
But
I
I'm just saying, he could be overrated, but that's a pretty good job taking over for the
no
guy.
Question. Yeah. But Jimmy Johnson, I would say,
I agree
a legend replaced
overrated.
A legend.
But I think in Pittsburgh, we go back to this, I think one of the reasons why Cowher succeeded is because they are so coordinator-heavy.
Dick LeBeau.
It wasn't a guy – it wasn't a coach that came in after Noel who had all control. You know, he didn't. Okay. Cower, you know, and so.
Yeah, but what do you know about the Pittsburgh Steelers hierarchy in 1975?
I know that, you know, while Cower was there.
I know.
While Noel was
Oh,
there.
I don't know. I don't know about Noel.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
For all I know, Noel had complete control.
He has all those little stipulations
saying,
to, Cower, to differentiate everybody.
One of the reasons Cower was able to succeed is because he had such strong support and he didn't have full control, you know?
I mean, I kind of agree with Andy. I think Cowher's a bit overrated. I think Jimmy Johnson is wildly overrated. You know?
I think Jimmy Johnson's pretty good.
I think he was pretty good as a personnel guy, wasn't he?
I think he did a good job.
Yeah.
I think he's considered like Belichick, and I don't think there's any comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say. He was Belichick for a short run there.
Very, very short, and then, well, and then he flopped.
Yeah, but I think he was...
Yeah, but
I think Jimmy Johnson.
Some believe Belichick would flop if he left here and didn't have Brady and went to just some, you know,
Jimmy
crappy team.
Fair point. Fair point.
I mean, it was personnel, not necessarily X and O's, where I think Belichick's kind of the opposite. He's more.
That's not what you were saying yesterday. You wanted him to be the president.
I do.
Make all those choices.
And I also give Jimmy Johnson, it's not really relevant, but college credit. You know, he was very successful in college, and that, to me, enhances your coaching resume.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not saying Jimmy Johnson's a stiff. I just think
I
think he's overrated. I think
you just
could be
hate
very...
him because he's friends with Belichick.
I don't hate him. I like Jimmy. I think Jimmy Johnson's a really dynamite personality. I like Jimmy Johnson.
Dynamite personality. Can't coach, but dynamite personality.
Dynamic is probably what I meant to say. But I like Jimmy Johnson. I think he's entertaining. I think he was very good. I don't think he's a stiff. I think he's a lot better than Bill Cowher, you know, comparing those two guys that we just talked about. I just don't think he's like one of the all-time greats. And I think he's considered an all-time great.
Jimmy Johnson? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think his personality makes him
Is he
larger.
Really? Sure.
Yeah. I didn't know he was considered that.
Now, when Marino went to his first Super Bowl, was
so
he
you're
the
with
coach?
Me.
Who was the coach in 80?
Don Shula.
Oh, Don
Might
Shula.
Might have heard of him.
Right. So
yeah, he's got the wins record.
Jimmy Johnson didn't do anything with Miami, right?
Nothing. I mean, they went to the playoffs, but they didn't win anything.
Yeah.
He was a good, I mean, this is not to say that he stinks. I think sometimes you use a word like overrated and it takes on a different meaning than when a guy, like Andy just said, like, oh, I didn't realize that people thought of him as one of the all-time greats. Well, let's just say for argument's sake that my perception is accurate and that people do think of him as one of the handful of greatest coaches of all time. Saying he's overrated doesn't mean he's not a great coach.
Right.
Right.
I just don't think that he is Paul Brown, Bill Belichick, you know, Vince Lombardi.
Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh.
Well, I think Vince Lombardi was overrated, but that's...
Well, it's because Bill told you to.
A lot of little snippets going back and forth today.
Wow. Paul, real snide.
Why do you think Vince...
Speaking
I mean,
of snide.
Why would you say Vince Lombardi's overrated?
Yeah. I don't...
Maybe he is. I didn't follow Vince Lombardi. I'm just going off
the record. You're such a fraud, by the way. You think Lombardi's overrated because Bill told you to. And then Bill says that Steve Young's overrated. And Paul goes, see, I told you Steve Young was overrated. Bill agrees with me.
How many times have we done that? Who among us is not guilty of using Bill's words to our benefit when it suits us?
Not me.
Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
I think Vince Lombardi's overrated.
I do.
Yeah, I remember that time when he ran the ball on third and four.
2 years at Green Bay, big deal.
Hey, what?
2 years in Green Bay.
What about the other titles?
That's before the Super Bowls.
So those don't count?
No, they don't count.
Idiota. Tu eres un idiota.
What do you think of Vince Lombardi?
I don't know his... all I know is the numbers. I don't know like him as a coach. I wasn't alive. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I don't know any more about him than Paul Brown. I think Paul Brown's pretty good. I mean,
but Paul Brown, the whole and again,
the
I'm being swayed by
thing.
Bill here. Yeah, I don't know
but
what
again,
Vince Lombardi did. That
did
was
did you
innovative.
Know that? If not for listening to Bill tell us about it all the time,
no,
because
I
learned
him.
A ton about Paul Brown from Bill Belichick.
But I believe him. It's not like I think Bill's
too.
Lying.
No, I do too. That's what I just said. I learned a lot about Paul Brown from Bill Belichick, not from experience.
But according to Bill, Clark Shaughnessy is one of the greatest ever, and I don't know.
I don't even know who that is.
Poo about him.
I mean, other than the name.
Yeah, I don't even.
I couldn't even
but
tell you
Bill
what he
has
did.
Him in that hierarchy of like Paul Brown, like way up there.
You know, there's a lot of people. You know, the overrated, underrated thing is funny because there's a lot of people that think some of the all-time legendary college football coaches that just like Bear Bryant,
right.
for example, just yeah. kind of sat back. They had unlimited scholarships. Everybody wanted to go to Alabama, and he just sat there and picked the best players that were available, and how could he lose? A lot of people feel like that some of those guys, as great as they were and as much success as they had, were somewhat overrated. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's stupid.
I don't know if that's true or not. To me, you got to do something to get to the level where they're picking you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's stupid. I think you have to give people credit for building. And I kind of use my steroid. As much as I say he paid people, well, the other guys were paying him too. Like,
right.
He may have had more money and stuff like that, but everybody's cheating. Everybody's trying to win. Everybody's cutting corners.
But he got them to take less for the team. It was the Alabama way.
Before it was the Patriot way?
Interesting email from a fellow named Jab in Halifax.
Jab.
He says,
Gaffney?
Well, you finally managed to invade my dreams, he said. I've been listening to PFW for 10 years, since the 03 season, and you've become part of my family routine, like brushing my teeth or the morning dump. It's good to be compared to the morning dump.
Yeah, you know,
I think that's probably an accurate comparison.
Clean it up a little.
I used to write in with my buddy every once in a while under the moniker of Abby and Sally, but haven't written in a few years. However, I had a funny dream about you guys last night that I thought was worth sharing. The dream started out quite normal. I was headed to a buddy's house for dinner with him and his fiance. When I arrived at the house, who was there to greet me? None other than Andy, Paul, and Fred. For whatever reason, before we sit down to eat, my buddy and I decide to go down to the basement to lift weights. The PFW boys...
So I definitely didn't go. That was just Fred and Andy.
The PFW boys stayed upstairs in the living room. Now, I'm a normal-sized guy who never lifts weights. We decided to start bench pressing, and since it's been so long since I've lifted, I decided to ease back into it. I'm only going to bench the bar with no weights. I know this doesn't make any sense, but neither does the rest of the dream. Somehow, from upstairs, the PFW guys figure out that I'm only benching the bar and begin laughing at me.
That's Andy again.
In particular, Paul takes some real shots in his sarcastic, dismissive
tone. No way, I'm not buying it.
The one he often uses with callers and says, if you're only going to bench the bar, you might as well do nothing. For whatever reason, this sets me off. Enraged, I run upstairs threatening Paul, and I have to be held back by my friend and Andy. The dream angered me so much that I awoke in a sweat, squirming around as if I was in a fake fight with Paul. I have no idea what any of this means, but my guess is that it's years of subconscious pent-up anger at Paul for being so dismissive of the fans, which is ironic because I love that about Paul and the show in general. It could also have to do with the hard time Andy gives Fred about his various creative workout routines over the years. Anyway, keep up the great work. Never change and go Pats.
Good stuff.
So, it's good stuff, but I also...
Sorry I angered you.
You should probably... see a therapist because
he's sweaty
because that's not normal.
Yeah,
and there's no question that Andy was the one making fun of you.
No,
you might as well not do anything.
That'd be something, waking up in a fake fight with Paul.
Could you see Andy making fun of me if I was like just benching the bar?
Oh yes, absolutely. You'd make fun of me.
Come on.
And I wouldn't make fun of that guy either.
You'd make fun of me. You might not make fun of that guy.
When I go back to the gym I start with the bar and I work my way up. You get warmed up, you get loose, you get back into it.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind if you just try to throw, like, two plates on and just go.
You would make fun of us if we did that.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
If you ended with a five on there.
Andy has gym etiquette where, you know, he never talks about anyone else's workout, but you know he's judging everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Quietly.
Like I don't think he would, the dreamer, I don't think Andy would make fun of.
I wouldn't.
But if it were me.
Yeah. Now, if you came in and put the bar on and then pulled, like, perfect push-up things out of your pocket and did those in between sets, I'd be making fun of you.
Nah, I'd make fun of you for that, too. But only because you buy the gadgets, not because you're working out.
There's a lot of people in the gym doing goofy things.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And sometimes...
And you notice every single one of them.
No, I wouldn't say that. But sometimes the more experienced the person, they try new stuff to try to kind of jumpstart their workouts.
Yeah.
So it's not even just like the novice, like this guy. I hadn't lifted him forever. Sometimes it's...
So do you bring in your own chains to put around the squat?
I've never done that.
You don't?
Actually, no, that's not true. We did that at Tufts a little. But other than Tufts, I've never done that.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Do you do anything
the chains?
Innovative?
Nothing
What's
fun
the chains?
Anymore.
No. What do you do?
You put the chains around the ends of the squat bar because as...
Or you're... anything. Bench. Yeah. You can use it for bench.
As you're lifting it, it becomes heavier because you're lifting more
chains. It
unpiles.
Like it's piled so it's not...
Yeah, see, this is what happens when you don't work out. You don't know these things.
They do that type of stuff here. I
assume they're doing it.
Well, but over the last, like, 5 years, like, or somewhere in there, the world's strongest man and, like, training kind of merged. you know, functional training and sledgehammers and tires and all
ropes.
That crap. Yeah, the ropes for the shoulders, right. The weaving of the ropes, all that crap merged with, like, you know, traditional weight training.
I figure I could do those ropes for about 30 seconds tops.
I'm saying you wouldn't make 30. I don't think I'd make 30 either.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's a pretty heavy rope.
I'm just looking at it, and when you see it on TV and you watch people do it, I can immediately feel my shoulders burning.
And at the very least, your first, like, three and your last three would look nothing alike.
Oh,
the last
God,
would
no.
be like...
yeah, you're like using your whole body, yeah. You know, to get that last one going.
Fred, by the way, it is you know, January 3rd. You said you were going to join the gym January 1st.
What gym?
I don't know. You said you were going to join a gym and get back into it.
I haven't got around to it yet. Doing the perfect push-ups.
Are you?
Oh, sure.
Really?
You got a big game tonight.
Every
the Tar
night?
Heels tonight.
Every night.
You're a fraud.
Why?
Because I don't believe you've been doing it every night.
Oh, sure.
Got a big game tonight, Freddie. Thursday night hoops.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Tar Heels.
Pencil Paul in for 2 points.
Looking to lock down a playoff. Yeah, I average about two a game.
For quitting halfway and taking his sneakers off.
No, it wasn't halfway.
Slamming him down.
It wasn't halfway.
Oh.
It was the end of the game.
Oh.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Last
week we only had six guys, so, you know, everybody got to play.
So no substitution problems.
No substitution problems last week.
Okay.
With only six, there was a guy tired all the time, so it was good.
I'll tell you who's tired. Big Al. Listen to this crap on hold.
Well, since you mentioned it, why don't we go to Big
Al?
He doesn't
like when you do that.
Hey, Big
Al,
how you doing?
Oh, I could listen to your crap all day, fellas. Don't worry about it.
What's up? How's those softball co-eds doing?
They're doing very well, Andy. We're looking forward to another season. We should have you come down and throw out the first pitch.
Now,
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Are you keeping the court-recommended 100-foot radius at all times away from them?
Are you operating under some sort of court order, Andy? Do you have a restraining?
I've never had a restraining order against me, no.
Be careful now.
Valdosta
State is not only your 2012 Women's Division II softball national champions, but Division II football national champions.
Oh, nice.
At Valdosta State.
Getting it done.
Defeated Winston-Salem State a couple of weeks ago. I went to the game. They play the game in Florence, Alabama every year is the permanent site of the Division II national championship, and this is our third.
Nice. Congrats.
In 10 years.
What's the mascot down there?
It is the nickname of the team is the Blazers, and so you have to distinguish yourself from the red and black, which is the University of Georgia. So we are the flame red and black because we are the Blazers.
Now, do you have a mascot that like sets himself on fire?
We have a mascot.
How does that work?
They just wear it double breasted.
He's Blaze the mascot, who's got a big fireball on his head. Basically.
What does that mean?
Cool.
Yeah,
flaming Blazers.
The flaming, that's right. We're flaming.
You don't want to merge that into the Flamers.
we're right in your wheelhouse, Andy Hart.
Yes,
you should
yes.
Come down and throw out that first pitch. I'll hook you up. But look, you were mentioning earlier about you know, the coaches and the SEC, some of the coaches back in the day and how many scholarships they had. I believe I read Namath's a book called Namath, which I believe is an unauthorized autobiography, but a very good book on Joe Namath, his whole life story. And in that book, I believe it mentioned that Bear Bryant, when Namath played there, had 177 kids on full rides.
Jeez.
177.
That's what I was talking about.
That's why he didn't care if a couple of the Junction Boys died or anything. He's got three more ready to go.
There you go. Which I believe that's twice the number that you have today. Is that correct?
Is yeah, 85? It's 85.
85,
I believe.
Yeah.
Unless you're Penn State.
177. I think a lot of that was to just simply keep kids away from other schools. They may not ever really play or whatever, but
yeah.
Well, yeah, because freshmen didn't play back then, right?
No.
So you had, you know, 60 kids, a third of them or something that were just, you know, there as a redshirt year to be practice dummies and. He had a full team, essentially, that you could beat up on.
And also, back then, didn't players more often, you know, stay the whole 4 years?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. They
did.
Yeah.
I don't think
you
more
know,
often.
They went there,
but they
really
did want to keep you.
They never played a snap. They just wanted to run onto the field, a lot of them.
Right.
I mean, they literally just wanted to run on the field with mom and dad in the stands. That was their whole college football experience. They really didn't want anything. I mean, they might have wanted more than that, but they didn't really expect
just putting on the letter jacket.
More than that.
Just putting on the letter jacket and being part of the team.
That's it.
Being the Houston Texans.
You also mentioned a topic. I didn't get a chance to listen yesterday, but I listened to the replay last night. And you mentioned something yesterday about, you know, being a fan back in the day as opposed to being a fan, you know, today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a whole lot different. But one thing I think that I have noticed, just because of the technology and the global village and all the satellites and internet, it seems like back in the day when I was, you know, growing up being a Boston sports fan, you had to root for the Boston teams. There was nobody living in Massachusetts that was a 49er fan,
right?
You know, and it seems like you have more of that today.
Well, it's
because
easier.
Much easier.
Everybody.
Yeah, you can watch every game of that team. You can go to their website. You can buy their hats, as Paul said. Right. He would have bought a Niners hat had he been able to, and you just couldn't back then.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's something that's different. Other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot different. I think there's, you know.
What about the coolness factor, Al? I think today, and Fred was talking about this, like some kids are drawn to
that.
A team because it's cool.
Born very cool, Andy.
Yeah, you sound it.
That's
hanging out at Division
II
colleges.
The right man. So go ahead, please.
But I just wonder, you know, back in the day, there wasn't a coolness. Oh, they got a cool logo. I'm 7 or 8. I'm going to start rooting for them, and then really actually become a fan off of that, but start because of some coolness factor in terms of logo, color scheme. I think that was completely non-existent back then.
Well, I'll tell you when I think that started, though. I think you're right. But here's when I think I noticed that it started to change. And that was when the Oakland A's came out with their green and gold kind of softball-looking baseball uniforms in the early 70s. Kids I grew up with in New Hampshire all of a sudden became Oakland A's fans.
Well, it wasn't just the uniforms.
What's that about? They said, well, they liked the uniforms.
Yeah, the cocaine they were doing?
It was also the way that they were marketing that team. I mean, the guy that... Who was the owner? He was
Charlie Finley.
Charlie Finley.
The ultimate.
He was innovative. He brought in guys like Reggie Jackson and Sal Bando and all these guys. They were like almost the Cowboys of their time in terms of
They were counterculture. He allowed them to, you know, some of the teams were still coming off of the 60s and, you know, the sort of, you know, boys regular G-man look. And he was allowing them to have the mustaches and the beards.
The
big bushy hair and the wild uniforms.
Yeah.
Yeah, the players were actually paid extra to grow them.
To grow their hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, you know, he thought that was a marketing. He was way ahead of his time in terms of marketing and all that. You know, he wanted to have the orange baseball.
Yeah, right. he tried that for night games.
Yep. Yeah. You know, some of his ideas were not adopted, but a lot of them were. He didn't really bring in a lot of people, Fred, forgive me, but he lost a lot of people because. Yeah. You know, he wouldn't.
That was a homegrown team, and then
with.
He didn't have the money to keep them.
Oh,
and they all left.
Catfish Hunter went away. Sal Bando went away.
Joe Rudy
went away. Yeah, they all went away.
Vida Blue.
I actually credit for a more modern explosion. I think Jerry Glanville had something to do with it. When he made the Falcons black, a bunch of other teams started to mix in black. And now black is, you know, I know the Raiders were always, but it's like he kind of took that and said, well, other people can be black too.
Yeah.
It would be cool.
You want to be kind of an outlaw.
And I think Jerry, you know, because he was, you know, Elvis and black cowboy hats, and he was about all that shtick. So I think he had a little something to do with it there, and whenever that was, the early 90s.
Okay.
Or...
All right.
I got a draft question for Andy Hart, and then I'll stop. Andy, it seems like this the flavor of the month at quarterback all of a sudden is this Ryan Nassib. At the Cuse, what do you think of him?
I don't know enough about him to comment.
I'm not
at this
sold.
Point. Yeah, I mean, I've seen him a little bit, but I haven't broken him down. And Paul and I were talking about this—the whole quarterbacking change, evolution here of the athletic quarterbacks and what you look for in a quarterback now. And are guys who are more athletic going to be given more chances? I kind of poo-pooed it because, you know, I think RG3 is a great athlete, but I think part of why he's having such a great year is he's got a great running back behind him. And the same thing for Russell Wilson. He's got a great defense and a great running back. I think if those two guys, you threw them to the wolves in the same way, but without those benefits, so they can no longer run their play action and they do everything they do off of that, I think it'd be totally different. And you might go down a road of one of those guys gets destroyed by getting beat up too much, you know, lack of confidence, Matt Flynn comes in or something like that.
Do you think that those guys, RG3 and Russell Wilson, also help the running back? Because you have to, you have to key on that quarterback so much.
No question.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think the running back sure gets helped, but his career won't end. A quarterback's career ends if he struggles early. You know,
right.
They go down a road that can really snowball and spiral out of control pretty quickly. But short answer, I don't have enough to comment on.
Yeah, he has a terrific arm, and he has the size and all those kinds of traditional pocket passer type qualities. I've seen him play a few times. Not fair to judge him on the bowl game that was played in terrible weather.
Right.
But I haven't been overly impressed. And Syracuse does not – I mean, the Big East is there for the taking, and he has not necessarily
took
been –
took it.
Yeah, he's not been overly impressed.
All right, thanks for the call, Big Al.
But he is – but Al's right. He's like suddenly people are talking about him as a top 10 pick.
Well, you know why that is, because it's a year without the quarterback.
But to me, I would rather – as disappointing as Matt Barkley was, I would feel better about taking Matt Barkley than Ryan.
My guess is Matt Barkley will end up the first quarterback taken relatively high. It's just this whole process we go through. He kind of, you know, struggled a little bit, then he gets hurt, so you have a different guy that comes. But in the end, you end up where you started with Barkley's the best pro. Some people thought Barkley could have been the number one pick last year.
It's almost like Leinart.
Yeah.
He stayed and ended up hurting his stock.
So yeah. I think in the end, you'll see Barkley as the top quarterback taken.
Mark and Cheddar,
I thought he was going to say Clowney, by the way, because he's all the rage now. People are like, it's not fair. He has to go back to school. He should, you know, sue or
he's
go down the Maurice Claret road and try to get in the NFL now, and which don't do. You're going to be the number one pick. The thing you need to do is wrap bubble wrap around your knees and make sure you don't get hurt.
Hey, guys, in the international BBC personality, says Mark and Cheddar. I hear that
Adam, that's me, just in case anyone was wondering.
I hear that Adam Jones has moved from ESPN to 98.5, the Sports Hub. On Twitter, he said he would be doing both that and the prestigious PPGS, which is his main job, and his new show, secondary job, through the postseason. Does this mean that he will not be hosting PPGS next season?
That means that I think, right?
We would assume.
So, I don't know.
We didn't really talk to him about it, but we would assume that he's probably not.
He has a real gig 5 nights a week. He doesn't need us the sixth.
We'll see. But
unless
he,
just enjoys having Andy and Paul make fun of him every week.
He is with us through this season. But Mark says if...
He's like Ray Lewis. He's actually going to retire after a playoff win.
Right. But Mark says if he is not going to do it next year, I would like to formally apply for the hosting duties starting next season. I have three reasons why I am the perfect host. One.
Can't wait for this.
I will not be able to do it live from the studio, so we'll have to do it from England. This means there may be a slight delay in the odd moments of dead air, just like now. Two, as host, I will make sure that Andy and Paul are kept off topic for almost the entire show, just like now. And three, I am capable of saying the names of various media outlets and media persons. I am also capable of saying, check.
Just like now.
I now look forward to negotiating terms.
I actually think on the PPGS, we do a pretty good job staying on track.
Maybe that'll be a good good promotion for us in the offseason. Replace Adam Pac-Man Jones contest.
That's a good idea. Who are we going to get?
Contest?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
she's Charlie Finley. You're not.
Well, I don't know.
Trying to generate a little publicity here.
You mean have auditions and all that stuff?
I was sort of being sarcastic.
You know, we can fix it.
Yeah.
We can play that we're having this big thing and then fix it in the end that, oh, it's this guy from 98.5 who needs
kind of like, never mind.
Mark says, on to the Patriots, a quick game. I'll give you two names. If throughout the playoffs one of them has to play at their best and the other has to play badly, pick the one you want to play well.
Okay, I hope Brady's not involved in this.
Okay, so one guy is way
off
his...
You have to pick he's at his best and another guy is way off his
game. Way off his game. Mayo or Wilfork?
Wilfork at his best, Mayo off his game.
Okay, Dennard or Tlaib?
Tlaib at his best and Dennard off his game.
Welker or Gronkowski?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Gronkowski
at
his
Gronkowski
best.
At
he
his
can
best.
Own a game.
Gronkowski at his best. Welker
remember, you don't
game.
Have Edelman anymore.
You didn't tell me I don't have
that's
salad
true.
Dressing.
McCourty or Gregory?
Because I can't eat it without dressing.
McCourty at his best, Gregory off his game. Are you not?
You're not playing.
Are you not participating?
Andy's Mac.
I'm lamenting the lack of salad dressing.
The only time Andy got excited was when Gronkowski.
You know what makes a Caesar salad a Caesar salad? Caesar salad dressing. Otherwise, it's called lettuce.
I'll get you dressing.
There's probably some upstairs you can get. Francis or Scott?
Key.
Francis.
Francis on his game?
No matter.
Yeah, I want him on his game.
Okay.
I like him.
Solder or Vollmer?
Solder or Vollmer?
Depends on who they're playing.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to say Solder, but, you know, that's a fact. You need both of those guys to play well.
Solder, because Brady can see the guy coming from Vollmer.
And
give
finally,
him a half a second.
Brady or Belichick?
Brady.
Brady, yeah. You know, one question I've
Now Paul's shaking his head at it.
I got mushrooms. I got all kinds of crap on my burger.
Now Fred's looking in the empty bag
Plus,
for something.
I have no fork. Wow. They really screwed us.
If I open that box and it's chocolate chip cookies, I'm going to be really pissed.
I mean, that's a question that I've always thought about asking Bill or having someone ask after a game, you know, when he particularly emphasizes the point of, you know, we just didn't coach well. We needed to. What exactly is he talking about when he says we didn't coach well? What is it that he thinks they should have done that they didn't do?
I would guess it changes every single game.
It's right.
From big things to little things to sometimes looking back on the week of preparation, sometimes
right.
in-game adjustments, all of it.
Their game plan, too. He might just feel like, you know what, we came out and we wanted to do A, B, and C, and those were the wrong things to try to do.
But I would like to, you know, get a little specific on that.
And you won't.
Maybe he would because it's about him. It's not, you know, things that he could have done better.
Are you seriously thinking he's going to tell you the game plan?
No, not the game plan, but when it's not stuff like that, you know, like, I don't know. I just thought it was, in, you know, when he says we should have coached better or we could have, I'd like to know
but
what
I,
are those
I think that what he would say coming back, I'm not saying it's not interesting, Fred. There's a lot of things that I would love to ask him and love to get an answer on. But I think he would just say, you know, we didn't prepare the team well enough.
See, but that's interesting to me because we always look at this team, you know, there's nothing that they don't do in preparation. You know, so what more does he think he could have done that he didn't when the topic is preparation? I would just think that's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Steve from New Zealand says, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you.
You guys always make fun of me for being a broken record and just getting my tuna sub every single time. But see what happens when you change?
You're really upset about that.
I have a pile of lettuce with a freaking...
He's working on it. Barring any major injuries, how many years do you see Brady being our number one choice at quarterback?
Four.
Four more, not including this year. Four more years.
Maybe three.
I say
three. Four.
I say three.
Three to four. You know what? I say four.
Okay.
You learn your lesson in the fourth. Should have been three.
Franchise release or pay up in regards to Welker in 2013. He had another stunning season, but how many more are left in the tank? Franchise release or pay up?
Franchise. It's the easiest question in the history of questions.
Okay. How do you think he'll react to that? Will he be
I don't think he'll react as
usual.
Well as he did the last time, but
yeah.
I don't think there's much he can do.
He might, and then he'll show up and catch 100 balls. And
it's funny. I had a conversation with someone about this about an hour ago, and, I mean, ideally, wouldn't you want all your guys on one-year contracts? And then, you know, they have incentive to play, and you have a choice to bring them back. And I think franchise would be the best best for the Patriots anyway.
All right. Alex from the UK writes in, these questions occurred to me over the last couple of weeks. Just really looking for yes or no from each of you, though feel free to embellish. One, when Jacksonville was driving at the end of the game down by 7 points, did any of you consider that they might go for two and spoil the party having very little to play for?
Yes.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I wasn't thinking.
Oh,
that,
you didn't, but we did.
I actually, the first time they got down there, I said to Andy, do you think they'll go for two? And the reason I said it was because of their record, not because of...
Right.
I thought it was the right thing to do. I just figured, you know, do you roll the dice, try to take the lead? And I actually like that idea with like 3, 4, 5 minutes left in the game when you potentially could get another possession. You go for two. I think it makes it easier to get the ball back in a weird way. When you're down one, the other team's not hell-bent on moving the ball to try to get a field goal. So they might run the ball. You might get them conservative. You have a chance to get a three and out. And now all you need is a field goal to win if you don't get the two, obviously. But, yeah, the first thing Andy and I both said to each other, I wonder if they'll go for two immediately.
And Malarkey said yes.
And Malarkey said he would have.
And everybody knew it. NFL Network night right now, they're showing the New York Post, I believe, back cover, Rex on the beach, because I'm sure you've all heard that Rex Ryan is away from the team right now on a vacation in the Caribbean, as things are sort of, I don't even know what's going on there, stumbling or fumbling or bumbling.
Well, they have announced that they will do a press conference next week, I think on the 8th.
Yeah, I believe it's Tuesday. Is that if that's the 8th, then
right.
I think that's what I heard.
So they are going to have a press conference on the 8th. It'll be interesting to know why they had this delay. They definitely violated...
Oh, you're the best.
They definitely violated the league rules. The other question from Alex is, in reference to crying when a team wins or loses, did any of you shed a tear when the Patriots won in 2001?
No, but it's hard. I mean, to say that I wouldn't have if I was just a fan, I don't think I would have. But when you're working, that's a little different.
Right. I think we're so busy, and there's so much to do after.
You're overwhelmed. Yeah. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, you don't have time to cry.
You have time to bleed.
I know a lot of people did. Where'd he go? He left again?
Yeah, it would appear that way.
All right.
But don't give him a hard time. He's doing a phenomenal job.
Because he got you your salad dressing. Robert writes in, love the show. How about a little dreaming? Assuming the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, I know, but please rank from 1 to 6 the possible NFC opponents from worst nightmare to at least it's not the Giants. Well, let's go. NFC, I think the worst nightmare would be San Francisco again, right?
To me, it would be Green Bay.
See, I think they can handle Green Bay. I really do.
I have this weird thing. I think it's Atlanta. And
that would be number one on my list to want to see.
I think Atlanta could go up 28-0 in the first quarter on you against this secondary and this pass defense.
Why couldn't Green Bay?
With those receivers. I think Green Bay is not as good as they've been.
Oh, they're not?
Weapons-wise. I don't think their weapons are as
they're
good
as
they've
been. They're not as good as they've been.
But I think you look at Julio Jones and Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez, and when Ryan is on, and Michael Turner, I am scared to death of those weapons as this defense.
Yeah.
Now, they could lay an egg, too. But I just think, to me, they're the only team, maybe Green Bay, but they're the only team that could knock you out in the first quarter and Super Bowl ended.
We get that next year, too, right? Atlanta, we play at Atlanta.
I believe so, yes. Well, secondary might be better next year.
Yeah, I doubt it.
All right. We got a lot more emails
coming
in.
You might lose to Lieb.
It's 12:51, so let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No. Did you listen?
I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. We're here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots, and then it's footballnation.com here on a Thursday at Gillette Stadium. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And he's very happy. He got his salad dressing. He's all set. He wolfed down that thing.
And once again, I need to thank Kevin. He put his career on the line to get me some salad
Snuck
dressing.
Snuck into player dining.
I wasn't really going to say it.
It's all right. It's already a done deal. It's all good.
But if sorry, Kevin. I didn't think that was going to go in that direction. Just thank you for the salad dressing.
Good job, Kevin. And you were hungry.
I'm training. Burned a lot of calories.
Yeah, that's true. Training for the marathon. You want to give out your link in case anyone wants to contribute?
I'll do that at a later date.
Why don't you give it to Kevin? He can put it on the PFW in Progress site.
You really should do that.
I will do that at a later date.
You're welcome.
I'm not prepared right now. I was going to do it anyway. I was going to ask you if I could first, but thank you.
James in Brisbane writes in, great work again this season. The coverage you guys do is second to none. I had a random thought last night listening to your podcast. Do you think Bill listing half the team in the injury report is his way of saying he doesn't want an 18-game regular season, or at least something he can point to if he's asked about it. Maybe I think more. It's more just a F you at the whole rules around reporting injuries.
I agree with Fred.
Yeah, because I think he did this before. There was a lot of talk about, and look, he's not the Bill Parcells used to do the same thing, you know. So it's just showing how nonsensical it is.
But also, it's you know, remember Harbaugh talked about it. It's going beyond, above and beyond, and making sure he doesn't get in trouble or fine. You know,
right?
Okay, if you want to know, I'll list everything. And even though Wes Welker's ankle hasn't hurt for a month and a half, he's still on there because at one point it hurt. Like,
right?
There's a little bit of that too.
Oh yeah. Secondly, out of Indy, Baltimore, and Cincinnati, which team is most likely to be able to make a run to the Super Bowl? Just curious, which one you think has the potential to pull something crazy out? Indy, Baltimore, or Cincinnati?
To me, the only one is Baltimore, and I probably in the vast minority on that.
Yeah, see, the way they've been playing.
I think if Baltimore puts it together, they're talented enough to do that. I don't think they will. I don't think the Colts definitely aren't talented enough to do it.
I think Cincy is the one.
And Cincinnati is not ready to do it.
You don't think they're ready, but at some point they're going to be.
I put Cincy and Baltimore in the same running. I think the Colts have no chance.
Yeah. At some point, assuming the Bengals keep the personnel and keep improving, they're going to be ready. You know, they're going to break through. Is this the year? No, I don't think so.
But they're not all that different. I mean, talent-wise, they are somewhat, but from the Texans, in a, you know, a coach that's been there maybe longer than most people would have expected, and now they kind of are putting it together in terms of talent and building. You know, they have the receiver, they have the quarterback, they have the tight end, they have the running back. Defensively, they have a good front that can put pressure on quarterbacks, not to the degree Houston has consistently over the last year and a half, but I think there are some similarities and similar questions about, you know, not being able to take the next step and take advantage of what talent and what they're building.
Brett in Illinois, I was listening to the recording of the pregame social, and I was wondering how creepy did you think Jeff in Vegas was when the first thing out of his mouth after "Hi, how are ya?" was asking if there are any photos available of the female guest in the studio. More creepy than Andy.
Yeah, it was more creepy than me.
Who was in the studio?
Christina from the Triangle Tripats fans.
Oh, she actually came in person?
Oh, cute, too.
Oh, yeah?
Red hair. She calls herself
I know that she gave out T-shirts, of which I didn't
cute
get one.
Cute as a button.
Dimples, nice dimples.
Yeah, I noticed I didn't get a T-shirt.
You weren't here. It was for the pregame social. You don't take part in the pregame social.
I noticed I didn't get a pregame meal on the road.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
I didn't know that you ran the meals.
He's pulling rank right now.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, if you want, we actually were talking about this. If we could somehow find a way to get you on the pregame social, I think that would.
Next year, I have an idea for that.
Uh-oh.
We'll talk about it after the season.
If this involves Andy and I alternating on the road, I'm not sure I'm for it.
Why don't you finish your sentence also? We've been trying to find a way to get you on the pregame social. And?
That was it.
Eric off of it.
Oh, yeah.
I would assume.
So where we could expense a meal or something, you know?
Oh, that's good, too. But it would have hurt him if you read that dream one earlier where.
Wasn't even
and who's
call
there? Paul, Fred, and Andy. Wah, wah, wah.
Brent in Illinois also says, anyhow, I was hoping to offer a suggestion. Could you guys get Vito Stellino to call into the regular show one time? I'd love
imagine what Fred would do to him.
I'd love to hear Fred and him battle it out about Belichick. I don't know which of the crotchety old guys would be alive after that battle royale.
That's been brought up a number of times. Actually, when he was on this most recent time, somebody tweeted right away, the only thing that could make this better would be if Fred were here to argue with him and then wondering which guy would have a heart attack first.
That's really
you two are, I mean, it would be fun to get you two going. The old Felger-type fight with you. Be a little different because you don't know each other. So, although right. Vito doesn't seem to care.
No.
I don't think he really needs to know anybody to unleash whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't know who he's talking to.
Right.
So it's just a person.
And he probably does that all the time, even when he's in his car by himself, just like, ah, out of that. Because he's a little bit loco.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year, says Dan. Curious as to what you thought the chances are for a Luck Manning divisional round. And does Indy make a game of it?
Nope.
Also, I wanted to dispel what I believe to be a myth that the Giants are a lucky team that just ran out of luck this year. Yes, the 500 things they needed to break didn't happen, but they took control of the one thing they could beating Philly in Patriots fashion. If you ask me, the luckiest team in that division is the Cowboys. In spite of all the squandered talent and poor decision-making, they were still in position to control their own destiny in the last game for two consecutive seasons. The lucky teams have a shot at the end, but the good teams make it. Okay, you know, I understand, but I think it's kind of a argument that there's no right answer to, you know, who's lucky and who's good. And I will say that I don't think the Giants were lucky to win those two Super Bowls in any way.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of that. It's, you know, it shows you how fluky the titles were, and I think especially last year, I think that's silly. Yeah. I agree with what you said.
I think what they were lucky about is I think it's hard to flick a switch. And in those seasons, they flicked a switch. I think that's hard to do. And I think that's lucky that you were able to do that, get into the postseason, keep the momentum, all that going forward. But the actual wins were not lucky at all.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean,
I also think
was the David Tyree catch lucky? Yeah, but you can
the game wasn't lucky.
Right,
though.
You can name it countless things that the Patriots had in any of their runs that you could count up as weird or lucky or whatever. That just every team has those things that go that long. You know, you look at every no-hitter or perfect game that a pitcher, there's always that one play that the defense makes for him that saves it, you know, at whatever inning it is. You know, it always seems that way. You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I just thought the Giants played really well in both games. That was definitely a lucky play. The Tyree play was a lucky play. The Manningham play was not a lucky play. And I know they're often
he dropped it in there. Like
they're
down
often
a
used in the same in the same sentence as if they're the same kind of play.
No. That was a perfect pass and a great catch.
Now the Giants get lucky that Brady and Welker couldn't connect on that play. Yeah. I mean they didn't have good coverage on that play. They left a guy wide open, and it's a play they would probably commit complete more times than not. There's luck involved in that. There's luck involved in a lot of elements of the game. Along the way. I just think that beating up on the Giants for not making the playoffs, I don't think that takes anything away from what they did the year before, first of all. And second of all, I think that it's there's a lot of circumstance that goes into each season and, you know, who you play and when and where.
Yeah.
And,
every season's different.
I think it's tough. I think the NFC East is a difficult division, you know, number one. I think, you know, you had three teams there that were, you know, pretty even. And, you know, Washington ended up being the only one that made the playoffs.
Grimy Skiz in Miami says, so, guys, Felger and Maz brought the fact that Josh said he's not interviewing and Belichick deal runs through 2013, so it means there could be a possible changing of the guard. If so, do you think Bill can move upstairs as president GM, especially if he won the Super Bowl this year? Or next year. We talked about that a lot.
And no one knows anything about Belichick's contract when it runs through.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah, that's a Michael Smith story from 2007.
Right.
So that's how old it was that they were citing. And they kept saying that yesterday, and they're not beating up on Tony and Mike. But that's an old story, and who knows what the situation with the contract is now.
Is it's been extended.
That would be my assumption.
Not that. Well, I'm going to assume, since I have no other reports, that it's ending.
I don't think Jonathan Kraft would say, you know, he's going to be the coach for years to come if he was in the last year of his contract or entering the last year of his contract.
Right, because then there's a legitimate possibility that he's not. Stupid.
It would be fascinating to know what really they've got going.
You know, what I think would be fascinating is whether it's, you know, on one level, it could be some extensive legal document with Neil Kornrich and all this stuff and Robert and lawyers and out clauses or not out clauses, or is there any chance it's like a gentleman's agreement that Robert and Bill are just, I'm going to pay you $8 million, you're going to be here?
That's what I think, yeah. I think he basically has a job for life if he wants it.
Right, and that's just what I wonder, like how it unfolds, how it goes back and forth, when do they meet every year and talk about, you know, you still in this?
Yeah,
I'm still in it. Okay, and that's it? Or, you know, I just wonder how that all, but and we'll never know. I mean, 0.0 chance we'll ever know that.
Travis in Collierville, Tennessee. I don't think Adam, I guess he means Pac-Man, read it on the air, but I hope I gave Andy a good laugh with Paul's nickname suggestion, the G version Peter Piper. Anyway, now that the season is over, did the replacement refs have much of an impact as to who made the playoffs besides the obvious seeding order? Wasn't
I don't know.
Seattle, wasn't that the big thing? If they had lost one other game.
Yeah, they still would have made the playoffs.
They would have made the playoffs?
I think.
Yeah.
Because they beat Chicago, and they would have been 10-6 in Chicago.
I don't think in the grand scheme of things.
It cost the Packers a bye, but he said other than seeding.
Other than seeding. I don't think it did. I mean, we would have had maybe the first overall seed because of that Baltimore game and the Arizona game when you think about it.
What are we thinking about the Arizona game?
They screwed out of us both those games.
How?
Oh, that holding call on Gronkowski or whatever.
Okay.
You know,
I mean, in terms of his – I had forgotten about that play. In terms of his fantasy world, yeah, that's legit.
That's a legit fantasy.
No, it was a holding penalty that negated the go-ahead touchdown in the last minute. That's legit.
Yeah. And I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Well, it's fact. They had a holding penalty that negated a go-ahead touchdown.
But I'm not the only one that feels that the ref screwed us.
But you think it was a replacement.
There are a lot of crazy people in this world.
Yeah, and most of them are Patriots fans. That's why they have dreams about me and they want to fight me.
David in Maine, awesome show as always. Fred, you are the rock that keeps everything going. Have you listened the last hour? First, if you had to, where would you rank Tom Brady in terms of all-time quarterbacks right now?
One.
All time. He's up there. 1A.
Certainly in the top five.
Yeah. Also, I'm thinking about
Elway is always going to be my number one, unless I see something that really blows me away.
I'm thinking about getting a Patriots license plate, and a lot of the good options in Maine are already taken. TB12 keeps coming up as my favorite available choice. I was wondering if any of you or other listeners had any advice for a 7-character name to show off the Patriots. Obviously, Fred would pick E. Chung for Eugene Chung, and Paul would have Fan, F-A-N-H-T-R for Fan Hater. Just kidding. Keep up the great work. That would be good for you, Paul, Fan Hater.
TB12 is available, and you don't
want
it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if Maine's different, but I know in Massachusetts you can't just do that. You couldn't.
There's only about 7 guys that have their licenses in Maine. They have to have all
well, it is
documents.
True. Like in New Hampshire, everybody has a vanity plate. In like Rhode Island, these small states, everybody basically gets whatever they want.
I was just joking.
I thought
that.
Maine, you didn't need a license or a license.
The moose on the front is the distinctive thing.
They know all the cars by, you know, oh, there's Joe.
Yeah, there's Bobby. Bobby got new boots.
Bobby.
Yeah, Bobby got new boots.
There's Eric.
Is that a Maine accent?
I figure I can't get there from here.
That absolutely
I can't get there from here.
Joel and Merrimack, hey guys, you've talked a lot about being a fan of a particular team and why you were attracted to that team. For me, it always comes down to location. I started off as a Chiefs fan because we lived in Fort Riley back in the 60s. After my dad retired in Georgia, I became a Falcons fan. And finally, when I moved to New Hampshire, I became a Patriots fan.
I don't know what that was.
For me, as
a Maine person moving to New Hampshire.
For me, as a fan, it's important to be able to see the games. I can't imagine rooting for a team that I can't watch or only get to see once or twice a year because the team is good enough to rate prime time. Admittedly, you can listen to the games on the radio, but for me, it is just not the same. There is something visceral about being able to watch the game live. Now let's have a few over-unders for the bye week. Fred dreams about Geno's Picasso-like junk twice.
I'll take the under. He's moved on.
Paul drinks to get drunk 3 times over the bye week.
You got
to
go under there.
Did you get drunk yet?
Because he's just going to be drunk once starting Friday.
One continuous buzz.
Right. Much work to do.
Andy ogles at least 12 pairs of breasts, but when asked, cannot identify any of the actual women.
Over. And, I mean, if TV counts, over. But, yeah, over.
Eric starches and irons 6 sweaters while watching the reruns of The Joy of Painting.
Speaking of sweaters, Eric's here, and he's got a sweater on.
Yeah, a nice V-neck.
He's down today.
What color would
he's
that
not
be?
Feeling well. He's down.
He's ill.
It's sort of a green. It's a grayish green.
There's no green whatsoever. It's
there's
gray.
There's not a hint of green in that.
You are colorblind.
You don't
it's
think that's
gray
a
like his shirt and like
gray
Andy's
like his
sweatshirt.
Shirt.
I said grayish green.
There's no green whatsoever in this sweater.
I don't see
even though green is my favorite color.
I think there's a tint of green.
Getting to know Eric.
Excuse me.
Eric, you look like bad shape.
I'm struggling a little bit.
What's the matter?
He's sick, obviously.
Why don't we let the man talk?
They know that. He said it yesterday when his voice didn't work and he took a 20-minute break to blow his nose.
But there's a lot of different ways to be sick, so we're just trying to have
a
conversation here.
I've had this one for a while.
Really?
The flu. Yeah.
Since London?
No, not that far. Where did that come from?
I had one that stuck around for like 2 weeks after London.
I think we all got sick coming back from London, but it didn't linger as long as this one is.
Andy and I didn't.
Might have something to do with the shots that I had to get for Africa.
You got those already?
Yeah. And I'm thinking maybe my immune system was affected because I got them all at once.
The rhinovirus?
At the beginning of December.
What did they give you?
That's another reason why I would have to get desire.
Hepatitis A.
You got hepatitis?
Yellow fever.
Oh. You got a fever?
No, I don't have a fever.
What does yellow fever do? Do you know what all these things do so you can look for the signs?
Yeah, but they're all basically like flu-like symptoms.
Yeah.
Only really bad.
Yeah.
Only you'll die at the end.
You might have the plague.
You might. You never know. And there were like four shots.
You need a kick in the nuts, huh? You plan this nice fancy vacation to Africa, and you take the shots and die before you go.
Suddenly Morissette's writing a song about you.
That's why I did it so early, to make sure I was...
You wanted to die early before?
No, I wanted to make sure that whatever, you know, side effects I had were... I got over them early enough, you know? And then I still have to take the malaria pills when it gets time to go.
Wow.
But...
to go.
That's a long flight,
he means
flight,
to Africa,
huh?
Not to die.
Two flights? Yeah.
Where do you stop off?
London.
London. Oh. Yeah.
So is that going to be tough for you not to just, like, run out of the airport?
Yes. Yes.
Good thing it's not Paris. I mean, he'd cry and miss his flight.
And then he would be crying about missing the flight.
And is this a Perillo tour? Or
no, Paul's not coming. No, he's not. No. Sorry.
Paul doesn't do Africa.
No, locally, in case
Paul doesn't
don't
do
know,
Paul doesn't do
there's
Quincy,
a company
Andy.
Called Perillo's,
there's an Everett.
Perillo's
there is
tours
a Perillo
that
tours.
They do tours mostly to Italy, right?
Yeah, yes. That was their specialty.
Mario Perillo. Yeah. No relation, unfortunately.
Different spelling or the same?
No, same spelling.
It's Perillo. Yeah.
Yep. He actually likes people. So couldn't be any relation to Paul.
I think you might have me confused with Andy. No. Who said he couldn't be a personal trainer because he doesn't
I don't like people. You pretend you like people.
I
don't.
There's only certain
people
I don't like.
Fans.
Stupid.
Yeah. Stupid.
And everybody's a fan of something, so you think everybody's stupid.
Oh, shut up.
So Eric's back from practice. What's going on out there?
Everybody's there.
Everybody.
Yeah.
TB12?
TB12
included.
And Ninkovic?
Ninkovic included.
Wow.
How's his hip look?
Ninkovic, it was interesting. Well, he did the... Here's what we had. We had 12 minutes on the clock. 12 minutes to view.
Go.
And they did... I'd say 8 minutes of that was the, you know, the sideline to sideline thing that we see in training camp. Then they break up into position groups, and Ninko is just, they do further little stretching for like a minute and a half. Then they actually do a drill of some kind. They were doing a sort of pass rush technique drill, and Chandler Jones on one side, Trevor Scott on the other. They had Ninko simulating the right tackle. So they were putting him into a sort of like a pass protection stance. And then at the snap, quote unquote, he was doing the, you know, the step blocking thing that an offensive tackle would do. So I don't know if you read anything into it that either he wasn't doing the drill as a pass rusher or that they felt comfortable enough to put him as the offensive lineman. And it was on that side. And it was on that side so that it was the opposite of the side that he got hurt.
Right.
I don't know what you want to read into that, but the fact that he was out there doing things of that nature, bending over, you know, loosening up, doing those kind of things with the hip area.
It's positive.
Kind of a good sign, yeah.
It would lend credence to the theory that it's muscle-related.
Yeah.
Strained.
Not a bruise.
And he did some light
not
jogging.
Anything. Structural.
Or yogging.
Yogging.
Might be a soft J.
Yeah.
How about Hightower?
I would say... gingerly jogging.
So we, because he's listed with shoulder and
hamstring.
Or has been previously listed.
Has been.
So we could maybe assume it's the hamstring that is troubling him. Based on
probably.
His jogging.
Probably. I mean, that would be my guess. One other interesting just thing, and again, we're all guilty of it, but Tom Brady misses practice yesterday.
Masturbating.
And no one asked any questions?
Nobody asked him today in his press conference.
So where were
Why
you
were you yesterday? Everyone assumes, and probably rightly so, that it was just a day off. But I don't think as a
you know what happens
beat
when you
reporter,
assume.
You should assume those kind of things.
Would,
you
Eric, you're absolutely correct.
Somebody should ask
We were talking
question.
About this yesterday, Andy and I, just the amount of things that don't get asked that would seemingly be routine.
Yeah, and I think
you know,
part
like
of it
Belichick
is...
yesterday, no one asked about Ninkovic.
Media as a whole.
Media, check.
Well, but I
no,
think...
No, but I mean, I think part no of one is... asked Bill Belichick yesterday about Rob Ninkovic.
And yeah, right. Big mistake. The most as
you all right over there?
I think it was the pasta.
Andy is
that put him over the top. The second of your two lunches put you over the top.
No, he ate
two
lunches. He ate like the meat. I don't eat veal.
You didn't like the veal?
I did like the veal.
Oh, he ate
half. You can finish the
veal. You know how he
I ordered a salad today that wasn't filling enough, so I ate the rest of his pasta and a cookie.
He's training, you know.
Training.
Yes, for the marathon.
Yeah, so no one asked about Ninkovich, which,
And no, that's just as an example. There's a lot of things.
And I know that he's not going to give you the answer you're looking for, but you have to ask the question.
But I think,
but he might.
But I think, I don't know if that speaks to either the laziness of the media in not thinking to ask, or they're just so
trained,
beat down to
which,
thinking.
We're trained.
Yeah, that oh, we're not going to get anything. Why bother asking? Either way, I think it's an indictment on us in the media as a whole.
Yeah, that's why that wasn't a check. I was including us in that.
Yep.
No, I know you weren't. I know you weren't, Andy. But I was.
Gil Brandt's on Twitter, Eric.
Is he? What's he tweeting about?
I don't know. Like today. Luck is my rookie of the year. Not really close. The Colts overachieved. No better than 5-win team. Luck elevated them to unimaginable heights. Like football stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's really him. Could be an intern at like NFL.com.
Well, I agree with the selection, not really close. I'm not sure I agree with.
That's very close. I think they're all close. All those awards are close this
RG3
year.
RG3 would be
MVP
rookie?
Is going to be close. Rookie,
excuse me.
Most rookie impressive comeback player of the year in the history
close.
Of the award.
Comeback player is going
to
be close.
There's a laundry list of guys that are, to me,
coach
legit.
Coach of the
year going to
be close.
I think it's the Canada's and I said this on our TV show. I think it's so interesting that the best year for individual performances and awards coincides with the worst year in NFL history in terms of overall talent.
It's true. Yeah,
I don't know what it means.
Overall talent or team play?
Team play. I mean,
team play.
Yeah. It's a big difference.
Like, okay, I don't know.
No, there is.
I think overall talent equates to team play.
Yeah, but I think the overall
you could have a very talented individual team and not
exists,
have
exists. But I agree with your premise about.
To me, there's not enough great talents go around, so there's not enough great teams.
Maybe there's just not enough of that talent on the same teams.
Well, then there's not enough to go around. There's always been great teams in the past. There's no great teams anymore.
Oh God. All right, web radio at
patriots.com,
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Boy,
Eric,
I was going to ask Eric about Brady, but I don't know if he's in.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to call the priest?
What did
Brady
yellow
fever
to,
over
what
here?
What did Brady have to Walter say Reed? For himself?
Let's see. Hold on. Let me just get back to my notepad here.
It is about 13 degrees in this room.
Well, it's actually warmer outside. It's not that cold today compared to yesterday.
It was 5 degrees when I was driving here.
I mean, it's not
literally,
but because it's not as windy today.
It's so definitely not as windy.
It feels warmer out there.
That is accurate.
Let's see. He was asked about
23, according to weather.
Steve Neal, who's being inducted into his college Hall of Fame.
Oh, nice.
That was the first question of the day.
May I ask who, so I can put a check mark next to his name?
Levin Reed.
Okay, never mind. I like Levin.
Levin Reed. That's a strange one.
Yeah.
I thought
a guy
it
who doesn't
been,
ask a lot of questions
right.
in general.
I thought it's a beat reporter who just stumbled across this note. It's filling out a notebook. Get a quote from Reed.
What happened is they must have got a call from the local affiliate out there and said, "Can you ask this question for us?"
That could be.
Oh,
Fred's always
Fred.
Thinking.
You know,
Fred
is
always thinking.
This is why Fred's the boss.
And he got it off in the first thing because he wanted to make sure.
Right.
He
absolutely.
Got it.
The timing of it all makes Fred's theory.
Good job, Fred. Yeah. He actually
highly plausible.
It was funny. He started it off saying, "You know, before we get this is Levin saying before we get this started, I just want to." Ask you, and I thought he was going to say, you know, your thoughts about the passing of Don
right.
Brosher. And he asked about Steve Neal, which kind of threw me. And then the Brosher thing came later on. But Ray Lewis,
yep.
his retirement, that
I
came
saw
up.
That quote.
I wanted to follow up, and somebody, I think it was Michael Vega, jumped in before he was even finished answering the question. But I was going to follow up and say, do you really think
Michael Vega,
check.
Do you really think he's a cute kid? You know that commercial where Brady is in the NFL thing, and he's talking to Ray Lewis's mom, but he doesn't know it's his mom.
Right.
And they say, "Oh, my son plays football." And then at the end, he says, "Cute kid."
Right.
But I didn't get a chance to.
Why?
Because I just said somebody
jumped in
and changed this. Oh no, it wasn't him. It was
Erase Michael Vega.
Friend of PFW in progress.
Yeah.
Uncheck.
Then. It was an internal question.
Belo?
No, it was an internal question.
Who?
Oh, okay.
For Christ's sake, Andy!
All right.
So anyway,
ESPN Boston.
Oh, I told them, I told Rodak that how I said Eric Belo and Mike Rodak went out to practice, so nobody who didn't work for the organization was there. That's kind of what he did.
So yeah, there wasn't anything No, nothing earth-shattering came
nothing
out of
earth-shattering.
No.
Okay.
You know what I'm waiting
Loves
for?
Loves the Ravens. I like that quote.
Eric, you brought up Brosher. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for – there's got to be some great stories, and I don't know if they'll ever come out or trickle out. But, I mean, when you've done equipment for 40 years, there's got to be some funny, stupid, important – you know, like I said to Fred this yesterday, like – Adam Vinatieri says, you know, people don't know is, you know, before Super Bowl 36, that 48-yard kick, you know, my lace broke, and Brosh is, don't move your mic, and Brosh is there retying my lace, or, you know, there's got to be some of those type stories
sure.
or equipment. I hope those come out, you know, they're going to have the service on Saturday. Right. I hope some of those trickle out, or even, you know, 70s guy, you know, whoever, mm-hmm. all those old coots back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, over 40 years.
There's got to be
over,
some funny
even over
stories.
10 years, you would think there's a wealth of stories.
Right.
But
sure.
40 years, you're seeing every coach, basically.
Jocks.
Every ownership and, yeah. team, every major, you know, Super Bowl team.
Yep.
There's got to be some good stuff there.
We should ask Tip. He probably has some stories from back in the day.
Might.
I don't know. I'll bet you the guys that were the equipment have more, because when you're a player, you just care about yourself.
Right.
You don't. You're not worried about that this guy, but these guys interact with all of them. You know, I saw the current equipment, one of the assistant equipment guys, he was standing at a locker, I think it was Monday, and he was looking at the locker and he was pulling things out like the player might need and really like giving a lot of thought to it, like he's going to need this, he's going to need that. And that's what they have to do.
Right.
These guys think for the players.
Yeah, they have sometimes you'll see.
They really shouldn't have to.
They
don't
have,
thank
like
me.
A clip,
you can only hurt the ball club.
Either like a clipboard or some sort of sheet with like customized for every
right.
player's locker, and there's certain needs that they have as far as you know, the style of clothing that they like to wear at practice and
wants.
Yeah, wants. Exactly.
They're all coddled way too much.
Oh yeah.
To me, the equipment guy should sit in the equipment room and the players come and get what they want. He just stays there and hands it out. He
like
shouldn't have to bend over backwards.
Should be like a cage there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So nobody can steal from the equipment room.
Like VU.
Right. I think it's a little, it's part of the whole.
God forbid you ever get caught on the other side of
seriously.
That gate.
Right.
We'll
let you in there.
It's like the evidence room at a police station. All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with the TIN's on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to chime in on the Lombardi conversation you were having earlier.
Yeah.
When Fred said he sucked.
He sucks.
Yeah. I don't know what you had today, Fred, but you have to, if you guys are familiar with the documentary on HBO?
No.
Yeah. The,
well
the,
done.
The Lombardi one?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen it all, but
well,
I've seen parts of it.
It was,
Dan
was
Lauria.
2010,
Kevin.
About 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
And, I'm a sucker for like all those, like
I am
life
too.
And all that. Yeah, so we're all pretty much like the same way, and I think it's probably one of the best ones I've ever seen that's been done. It chronicled him from childhood and all the way through the pros and how he got there and who he coached under and sort of like the enigma and sort of, you know, the madman that he was and, you know, what he was like and what it was like working for him. Well, many excerpts about if he won, he came in with a smile, and you knew you could smile at him that day. And if he lost, you knew you kept the head down the whole day, and you didn't say anything to him the whole week.
Christian, did they interview that guy, the author David Moranis, the guy who wrote the book about him?
Yes, they interviewed him. Actually, you know, I don't remember. I know they interviewed a bunch of people from the Milwaukee Sentinel that covered him. I don't remember if they interviewed him or not.
That's a really good book. If anybody is, you know. Any Packer fans or Lombardi fans out there, that's a really good, it's called.
Did he have like brown curly hair?
I think
did.
It was
he
called
was actually
When Pride Still Mattered. I think that was
okay, that was the author. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard about that book actually. But Fred, if you haven't seen it, it's great.
Okay.
But Fred, if any of you guys haven't seen it, and you know what he's famous, this famous thing, winning.
Isn't everything, it's the only thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it shocked me that he said to someone one time, he goes, you know, God damn it, I wish I never said that later in life when he said it. And, yeah, it's really one of those things where you look at it, and by the end you say, wow, it really, he's not who I thought he was. And he sort of, I don't really want to call him like an enigma, but he was a really complex guy. And I got to tell you, just as like a preview, his family life and his home life, from his drive of trying to be so perfect, it, what he did and perfect his craft really took a toll on his family.
Sure.
I'm sure.
All these guys, it's unbelievable. I don't know how any of them stay married.
I don't know.
Many of them don't.
And it really was something, but I certainly encourage you to take a look at that. I thought it was something, and maybe you'll change your mind.
Okay, Christian.
Fred will.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the
call, Christian.
Hopefully
he'll see the facts and reason and understand.
Oh, so you're a big Lombardi guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
Why did you?
But I knew he won, quote, more than two.
I just said he was overrated.
And he said, quote, other than the two. Fred doesn't give him credit
for
anything that wasn't
a Super Bowl. Fred doesn't give him credits for the NFL titles, only the Super Bowl
really?
Titles.
Right. Why not?
I just felt like it.
Whole home life thing, that's not a coaching thing, a football thing. That's anything.
Any
politicians.
Yeah. Any line of work.
You know,
that,
CEOs of companies that work 20 hours a day. That's being one-minded and one-minded that doesn't involve your family.
And I think it's hard to any of those things, industries, to be at the top. You kind of have to be that way.
Right.
You know, it's a sacrifice.
Can you imagine, though, you know,
Florida just put Tebow.
Put to the side for a second the fact that, you know, Vince Lombardi is overrated. but can you imagine the Giants had this team that had an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator with Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but they weren't Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry.
I'm just saying.
That's what I love about those things. Is like you have these staffs that, you know, here, like, not that it's a big deal yet, but like Bill O'Brien was right next to Carol Hardy's office making copies.
Right.
And someday they could say, Bill O'Brien, I mean, when Penn State was at its worst, he rebuilt a program into the greatest in the – and you're like, that guy used to make copies out there, jam the damn copier.
But imagine if,
unless
like –
unless he goes to, you know, the Philadelphia. Right, well, you know.
But imagine in, like, 1978 on that Denver staff or the Detroit staff, wherever Bill was the defensive coordinator and Bill Walsh was the offensive coordinator. I mean, that's basically what you're talking about.
Hmm.
You know, two guys that went on to be among a handful of the very best of all time that were coordinators.
One.
But, yeah, that's why I said put aside the fact that Vince Lombardi is overrated for a second, if you will. Why do you get mad at me? He said it.
I'm not mad.
I'll get even.
Jess writes in, as a New England native living the California dream for the past few years, I get to Vegas about once a year due to its proximity. I'm not betting units like Jeff and Linfield, but I have decent luck at the tables. Unfortunately, that luck hasn't extended to the Patriots. My past three Vegas trips have been 2010 Week 2 loss to the Jets, 2011 Week 3 loss to the Bills, and 2012 Week 6 loss to the Seahawks. Anyway, I'm scheduled to meet up with a bunch of college buddies in Vegas for the divisional round.
Stay away
weekend,
from the playoffs.
January 13th.
And I'm honestly thinking about skipping it. I look at any of the potential opponents on paper and think that the Patriots will drill them, but I thought that on my past three trips as well. Can any of the three possible matchups extend my awful streak, or am I good to go? I think
anything can happen in the playoffs.
I think there's a better chance of them losing than I would have thought going into Buffalo in week 3 of 11 or Seattle in week 6 this year.
The Colts will break your streak. I think the others could extend your streak.
Okay.
I think it's funny though, like the way
that you think that.
It's
a commercial.
It's not stupid. It's sports or whatever.
Yeah, it's not weird unless it doesn't work.
Roll
whatever. Like it's only weird if it doesn't work.
Yeah. She's going to like not go on a vacation or meet with her.
Right.
Because Patriots might lose.
Or that one with the San Francisco, this is my spot. And he's
in somebody else's apartment.
I have to admit, you know, we talked a lot about that crying thing. I mean, I'm as guilty of that stupid superstitious stuff as anybody. So I guess we all have our hangups.
John and Lynn.
That's because you don't care. Right?
I care.
He does. One of
he
these
doesn't
days,
care about
he's just going to break down.
He only cares about himself
like
and his
Jell-O.
Family.
He's just going to break down emotionally.
All he cares about is himself and his family. What a terrible human being.
I didn't say you were,
all at once, and he's just going to be a blithering
You know what I'll
blob.
Tell you gets you on the verge of being a blithering blob?
What?
The movie about the dolphin with no tail.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie.
Holy crap. It's
that's
like
a great movie.
The intention of the director. Because the story is a nice story, a dolphin, no tail, we'll get a movie. But all along the way, because it's become this like, I don't even know what the word is, for handicapped people. You know, it's the story and they can relate to it.
Right.
Like they're just wheeling out, you know, 5-year-old girls with only one leg. And,
awesome
and
movie for
it's
kids.
Like every opportunity they're trying to get you to cry. They're trying to get you to break down in this story.
Right.
That's a tearjerker.
You should let... Big Miracle was on, and I bet you Jackson and Sydney
What's
would like
Big
that.
Miracle?
So was that the movie about the whales that got trapped in Alaska, or like, I don't know, 20 years ago?
I'll tell you, the
ago.
Movie that got to me, The Champ, with John Voight.
Wow.
And when he's on the table at the end, oh, my God.
Never seen it.
Oh.
Never heard of it.
Ricky Schroeder before right. he turned it. Nah, never mind.
Right. But that was.
Before I use words that are not politically correct.
Right. That was something.
Strangest thing the other day, Paul.
No, not technically.
Oh, New Year's Day, I wake up all confused.
Did not penetrate.
A text message, random number, and you know I'm thinking, do I open
Schroeder?
This? No, it was a picture message. I open it up
was
and
it
I'm
Rick
like,
Schroeder?
I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. It's my dad and John Voight. Like,
John Voight.
He was flying and
was
like
he
was on the flight and it was like, and the first thing I thought of was that Seinfeld episode. This was John Voight's car. Exactly.
All right.
Champ was a good movie.
Too bad his daughter wasn't with him, because that's a picture I'd like to see.
What's the movie with John Voight where he's like an outlaw on a train, and it's freezing cold? It was like the whole movie was on this train, and it's him and this guy, and they're trying to survive this runaway train.
I don't know.
I just saw one with Denzel Washington.
No, that's another one. That's much later. But this
when they
stopped
the train?
Yeah, Unbreakable. Yeah.
When was it?
Probably in the 80s.
Unbreakable?
Somebody will write in, I'm
sure.
Looking
it up right now.
John Voight, it was...
In the 80s, you think?
That's not a good movie, but I've seen it about 111 times.
Might have been early 90s or 80, late 80s. But, boy, what a performance by John Voight. John writes in...
See, that's one of the things that we were talking about with the movies. Like, I wish I could see it that way. I don't ever see it that way. Like, I'm sure that it was a great performance, but I just look at it, I'm like, oh, I like that movie.
But now you have to figure out why do I like it.
It was good.
Because the story entertained me.
But if the actors were terrible, it would take away from it. So, you know.
Yeah, but I wouldn't necessarily know.
You like
I'm
it
a
as a whole because it fell into place for you, and there's a lot of reasons for that.
Smart people figure out those reasons.
Exactly, and I'm a slob.
It has nothing to do with intelligence.
What's the movie about the war guys?
Runaway Train.
Is that the name
That's
of it?
That's the name of the movie.
Runaway
a movie
Train.
About a Runaway Train.
1985.
But in what's the comedy with when they're in the jungle, they're shooting the war movie, and they start talking about
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah,
oh,
Tropic,
I love that
and he starts.
Movie.
You never go full on. Can't say the word, but
right.
Sean Penn go full on. You know what I mean?
That's like a great movie.
Method acting,
very funny.
Yeah, overrated.
I thought it was very funny. I don't think it was just rated over or under.
Was that the one Tom Cruise?
Yeah, he was in
He was absolutely hilarious in his role.
Right. You didn't even know it was him until
he was hilarious in his role.
That was great. John and Lynn says there was a rotund man named Paulie who's oft angered by listener folly. He goes zero to hut, although I always thought fat guys are supposed to be jolly.
Yeah, Paul does break that stereotype.
And then he writes in, Fred watches games with renewed vigor. Since the uniforms now cause a snigger. Because he's prone to gawk at an overstuffed jock, while boasting our shows make cots bigger. Oh, see now, that's not right. That's terrible. I think Strippers actually beat you. He had Runaway Train, 1985.
Well, he has high-speed internet. Eric's working up wireless, so.
And also,
and
Sean,
a phone.
Sean
and a phone.
Writes in from Vancouver, the same thing, Runaway Train. Great movie. If you haven't seen it.
Nope.
I haven't.
Should I look
John
up on
Voight's
Netflix?
A weird dude, though.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
His daughter's perfectly sane.
Yeah.
Apple tree.
Melvin from Tennessee writes in, coolness is everything. I know it attracted me to the team.
Winning titles?
The logo, players,
well,
colors,
is cool.
And being not liked all made them cool. I know you all watched wrestling back in the day. How cool was the NWO of wrestling back in the gay in the day. Anyway, do you all think that RG3 and Luck will have a? Oh, he loved that. He will have a sophomore.
I think that's I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Have a sophomore slump or slow down like Cam Newton did. He really didn't get it going until late in the year.
Yes, RG3 will have a slowdown.
I think they can't help but have a slowdown.
Luck can't have a slowdown. He'll be completing 30% of his passes.
This is where Andy, again, you know, goes back and forth between off-air talk about Andrew Luck and on-air talk about Andrew Luck.
Luck will be in Jamarcus Russell land.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Nick,
now, Fred, will you be picking RG3 to win the MVP this year?
Maybe. Nick is in San Diego.
That's not what you said yesterday.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Nick.
What's up?
So I can kind of tell that the show's a little winding down a little bit, which is fine, but I thought I might as well try to get things stirring up here. You know, the Broncos.
Let me guess, Brady's obsolete.
Yeah, Brady's obsolete. Oh, who am I? That's Andy Hart for you.
Love
it. Misspoke.
Nick and San Diego, I love it.
Thank you, Nick. Good.
Yeah, guys. Anyway, I wanted to talk about the Colts this season, how they compare to the Broncos of last season. Kind of that feel-good story where they get national support. Anyway, I'll let you guys talk about it. See you later.
Okay, so the Colts are the Broncos of last year? No. I think, you know.
And if you're going to compare, I mean, the Patriots had a little bit of that with Myrecraft last year. People thought that field goal, you know, there
right.
was a hand from God
power.
Or something playing a role there. So emotionally, I think the Crafts and the Patriots had a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, did we feel good about the Broncos, like, in the same
no,
way
I hated
that
them.
People are feeling good about the Colts this year?
I'll give you another Patriots comparison that I think might be more 2001 Patriots.
Sure.
You know, with sort of the Dick Raybine situation coming out of training camp, obviously even worse than Pagano because he died. But just the inspiration that they got, Bledsoe going down and it seeming like everything mm-hmm. was lost. They had no hope. They were 1-3.
Mm-hmm. Coming out as a team.
And then
9/11.
They sort of captured everybody's imagination.
Underdog.
Yeah.
You know, I think there might be some similarities there. But much like that team, I didn't think that, I mean, I'm not going to be a fraud. I didn't think that team was good enough. And they ended up winning the Super Bowl. I think they were short on talent.
Now, the comparison to the Broncos last year would be a quarterback with terrible numbers.
He's unbelievable.
Ryan from Reno.
But when we get off the air upstairs, he'll be talking about there's no way that RG3 could do that kind of stuff.
Ryan
Andrew
Reno
Luck
is
the best rookie quarterback.
Ryan from Reno is reporting via Chris Mortensen that Andy Reid is going to the Chiefs.
Good.
Yeah, that's evidently not
and
official.
And he wants to take
still, but still says close.
Tom Hecker?
Tom Hecker's going to be his GM, which right? means Scott Pioli will not be his GM.
Yeah. ESPN is still saying that Chiefs close to hiring Andy Reid. And evidently there's a chance that he could be going to San Diego tonight even
there was reports that he was going to continue to do his Phoenix and his San Diego interviews. Now that may blow up and they may have handed him $10 million over a year or whatever.
Well, some teams do that. They say, look, if you leave the room, the offer
goes
away.
That's stupid. Because if you tell me if I leave the room, you're telling me I'm your number one candidate, you really want me. So you know what? I have as much leverage as you do.
No, I know, but they also don't want you to use the deal I just offered
you. Then your team will suck because I'm the best candidate, and you know it. That's why you offered me first. So go suck and be happy.
Crapsheet is reporting that he's canceling those other visits. He's in the process.
I mean, that's what people were speculating, but it certainly looks like the Chiefs, and got to hand it to ESPN because in the span of less than 48 hours, it was absolutely positively the Cardinals and absolutely positively the Chiefs.
That's what I said to Andy earlier today. I'm like, wait a minute. Just yesterday, he was definitely
95%.
Yeah. It was 5%. Something happened.
Bruno from sunny Florida. Great show, guys. Do you think McCourtney is on the way out? He's not a good cornerback, and he's just okay at safety. With Chung back, he went back to corner and got burned again.
No. You don't know your facts. He went back to corner because all your corners were hurt. Chung was a bench player when the corners were healthy, and McCourty was playing well at safety.
Not the anger.
No, Chung is a backup now on this football team.
I'm with Andy there. I mean, that's just a bad.
There's no other. Yeah, I mean,
you're trying to run a guy out of town.
He played corner.
You don't know enough.
I'm with Andy against Paul there.
Yeah. You can be with Andy and the angry people off in the corner.
I'm not angry.
He's all yelling at the guy.
I mean, it was just
you got your facts straight.
He didn't know the guy's name, how to spell it. He didn't know, the situation of the
Paul
depth
McCartney.
Chart and position.
You know how
you
we,
should not talk about McCourty and how to say his name.
You know how we always
McCourtney.
Say that
he probably doesn't know it because of you,
McCourty.
But releasing the guy wouldn't be surprised. Even a guy somewhat prominent. Devin McCourty, I think, is in such high regard from Bill Belichick. I would be stunned if he ever got just released. Like next, imminently.
I agree.
Like this year, next year, whatever. 3-4 years down the road when he wants to make tons of money and whatever, all bets are off. But I'd be stunned if Belichick got rid of him.
In 2014, Patrick Chung will be...
2014.
A backup safety for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Even pick the team.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to be.
I don't
in
think
Patriots.
He'll be here.
I don't think he'll be a Patriot either.
I think someone will give him a semblance of money.
Really? I think he's going to be a backup somewhere. I think that's the right answer. And maybe a backup.
Oh, I think he's going
to
end up a backup because they're going to realize that they paid money for a backup safety.
I mean, I think he's going to be Brandon Merriweather, where a year or two after leaving here, he's going to be fighting to stay in the league, fighting hard to stay in the league.
All right. That brings about the time of every Thursday show when we do our picks. This week's PFW
time
Progress
of every
picks are brought to you by Subway Restaurant. Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
And Fred Kirsch.
Hi. Speaking of Fred Kirsch, yes. Andy, hats off to the boss.
He finally won a week?
Dominated a week. 14-2.
Well, it's the playoffs.
Last week. Eric was 11-5.
No, it isn't the playoffs. It was the last week of the regular season.
We're getting into the season.
Throwing papers
it's
around.
It's the season. Eric was 11-5. Paul and Andy were 9-7. With the spread, Fred won that as well, 12-4. Wow. Impressive number to finish it up.
Proving what, Paul?
Swimming.
That when you don't have any idea what's going to happen in the game, that's Fred Kirsch time.
Uh-huh.
When there's absolutely no possible way to analyze games, Fred can win.
When you don't know who's going to play in the games, Fred can win them. Eric is 8-8.
It's so nice.
Paul was 7-9. Andy was 6-10.
Ooh.
So, season standings final. Paul.
Ah!
172-83-1. Andy, 170-85-1.
Come on.
Eric, 165-90-1. And Fred was 144-83-1. With the spread, Andy.
Woo!
Dominant.
The only one that
dominant
matters,
finish. 131-116-9. Paul, 125-121-9. Fred, 112-106-8.
And Eric taking up the rear.
And there was only one who failed to even sniff 500.
The Malarian man-child.
116-131-9 for Eric.
Damn.
Wow.
That's just poor to me.
You should pretend you got those shots like, you know, August and it, you know, affected your brain throughout the season.
I got a question for you, you peeps. If you could only watch one game this weekend, which one would it be?
Good question. If I could only, I would say Seattle, Washington.
That's the most entertaining.
Yeah, Seattle's
Wait,
Washington.
That's a city.
Which
that's game a city.
Seattle at Washington.
You listed a city. Why, don't you want to watch a game?
No, Seattle, Washington.
He doesn't get it.
I do get it.
What did he say earlier that made no sense? Agree? Maybe Eric can explain it to us. What did he say?
Fits and starts.
You've heard that.
You are the oldest person in the world, Eric.
He is.
Oldest person in the world.
He's older than my grandfather.
He really is.
He's Benjamin Button. He's aging in the reverse.
Just because you don't read.
Seriously.
Andy reads. I don't read.
I don't read as much lately.
I'm guilty of that.
Andy Reid?
Oh, Andy
he's going to the Chiefs.
Jack, who owns Chiefs?
But you've heard the saying.
Of course, the fits and starts.
Because he's old. He goes to bingo night every Thursday with the old ladies. That's where they always say
bingo.
Fits and starts. What do you play with the old ladies?
I don't.
Hide the pickle?
What? That's disgusting.
I
don't know.
Do you guys agree to Seattle?
I've been getting up early.
Seattle game?
I think that's the most entertaining one.
I don't know. What are the other games?
Yeah.
I mean, from a curiosity standpoint,
well,
I want to know the outcome of the Houston game.
I'll tell you after you tell me.
Yeah, I don't mean for professional reasons.
Let's start.
Go ahead. Yeah. Cincinnati at Houston, Houston -4.
Now, before we start, I do want to remind
you're
everyone
having a fit?
That a few years ago, no, I gave
Listen,
everyone
it was
else
about 12 years ago
by
now,
going,
shut up!
No. 12 years ago, I picked the Bucks to win the Super Bowl before the season. A couple years ago, I went undefeated throughout the postseason. So I take these wild card games very you know, important because they lay the
foundation. Important.
They lay the foundation. Yet,
well put.
They lay the foundation for my. You know, if you lose a game in the opening weekend, you cannot go undefeated in January.
You cannot go undefeated in January.
What was the game?
Quite
the
Houston. Cincinnati at Houston. Houston by 4.5.
I am going to take the Houston Texans to get the job done at home. I want to pick the Bengals. I think the Bengals have a legit chance to win this game. But I just think the Texans are going to right the ship and get back to playing how they can play. I know they have a lot of problems and they're not playing well pretty much anywhere. I just think they're the more talented team. And screw it. I take the more talented team.
Yeah, I think Cincy, if memory serves, almost should have won that game last year, right?
No.
That playoff game, or did they get killed?
They got killed.
They did?
Yeah.
Yeah, by a Jag.
Yeah, by T.J. Yates. But I think they're a better team this year.
Oh, clearly.
And I agree with Andy. I want to pick Cincinnati in the upset. but something tells me this slide that Houston's been on.
It's got to end.
Go yeah. with it. Go with it. I'm telling you.
Go with Cincinnati?
Yep.
Go with something.
All right, fine. You talk me into it, Fred. I'll take Cincinnati.
He's going to bitch next week.
I know.
I would have gone undefeated in the first
Fred
week.
Fred's
going to pick Houston, right?
Yeah, I'm with Andy on this one. I'm going to take Houston. It's the game that I feel the worst about out of the four. I just don't have any confidence whatsoever in Houston. But they're at home. They're the more talented team. Mm. And I think Andy Dalton has had a hard time lately avoiding pressure, and I think that's the one thing that Houston can still do defensively is get after you a little bit, and I think they find a way to get a win.
All sound, and then we'll be coming sound here. Sound analysis, but I'm going with Cincinnati. I think that they're playing better at this time.
When it comes to picking games by ignoring sound analysis, no one does it better than Fred Kirsch.
They're playing better right now. I just think this thing with Houston is not fake. They're just not. They've lost it. They've lost their mojo. Cincinnati wins.
That's funny because that was the term being used. I saw SportsCenter this morning. Everybody's asking the Colts about having mojo. And I thought it was funny because they all acknowledged it. Like Luck said it. Freeney.
He plays for Jacksonville, though.
But that's what I was saying on the TV
But I can never
show.
See
that's
a Patriots team like even acknowledging that mojo exists
right.
or momentum.
Oh, God,
it's,
no.
It's about 1 week. And we'll, you know, what about mojo? If you don't prepare, mojo does no good.
Yeah.
And imagine other teams find ways to win games. You know, 15 other teams win every week. Well, not doing it that way.
Indianapolis at Baltimore.
Why'd we skip the other game? Indianapolis at Baltimore. Baltimore by 6.5.
Baltimore wins and covers. Indianapolis, the emotional road show, comes to a conclusion. Great story this season. Good luck in future years, Pagano and Luck. But he's just not that good.
I have to agree with Andy. I think Baltimore at home, the Ray Lewis announcement this week, I think gives them said momentum, said mojo, takes it away a little bit. A very emotional win last week for the Colts. I don't think they can replicate that on the road. That's too much. Ravens win.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens, too. Just such a tested playoff team. Joe Flacco, first quarterback in history to make the playoffs in his first 5 years. No one's ever done that, and they've also, until now, have won at least one game every year in the playoffs. I think they find a way to extend that streak, and they'll go to Denver.
Again, I'm going with the road team. Indianapolis wins this game. Ray Lewis gets hurt in the first quarter, and the win goes totally out of the Ravens' sails. So both road teams in the AFC.
No one roots for injuries like Fred Kirsch.
All right, moving over to the NFC, Minnesota at Green Bay.
Green Bay by 7.5, and this would be the game that I would pick if I could only watch.
Really?
I hope it's not a letdown.
Well,
but I'm just
if it's like last week's game,
and so that's in the back of my mind. But I would have loved to have seen that game last week from start to finish.
There's no chance it'll be as good a game, and I am going with the Green Bay Packers, the experienced team, the better team. You know that,
and the home team.
You have to beat one thing, and you can't let Adrian Peterson carry the ball for 190 yards because that team is nothing without Adrian Peterson. So, to me, I'm going to say that they can do what Bill Belichick, I always expect him to do. If you take away one thing, just take away Peterson, stop him, and you go to the next round of the playoffs.
Peterson. Yeah, I think they do that.
You laying the points? 7.5?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay to win, obviously. Trying to think if I want to. Give me Minnesota with the points. I think maybe Peterson will be uncontainable enough that they keep it close.
Spoken in my best Fred voice, Eric, you are right. I will do the same thing. Green Bay, and I'll take the points for Minnesota.
I will agree with both Paul and Eric. Green Bay, but I'll take the points. All right, Seattle at Washington.
The game of the weekend, according to Fred.
Yeah.
Washington is getting 3 at home. The only home dog out of the 4 games.
This is a tough one for me.
It should be. It's a tough game.
I still don't trust the Seattle Seahawks on the road. I still don't totally trust Pete Carroll leading a team.
Right.
But they're, in my opinion, the far better, more well-rounded football team. I think their defense is legit, and I think their defense will be prepared for RG3. I think RG3 is less of a player than he was
You saw him with that knee brace. I don't know whether it's the injury or just the knee brace, but it has taken a little bit of the explosiveness out of his running, and that's a big part of his game, obviously. So I think Seattle comes in and says, we shut down Alfred Morris. We know that RG3 is not quite what he was. He's got to beat us. And if he beats us, okay, he beats us. He certainly has made some plays with his arm this year. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think he'll do it against that defense. I think that defense is legit. You got the big physical corners. They can come up and tackle, you know, play, make some plays on the edge. You got the guys on the edge up front. I think the Seattle defense wins that game. Mm-hmm. I'm going Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, I think, the toughest game this weekend to pick because, I mean, how often do two rookie quarterbacks face each other in the playoffs? You can't really get an experience nod to either one of them.
The 11th time in the last 14 years.
Really?
You're just making that
You're
up.
Lying.
Yep. Yeah, totally making that up.
Because I think it's
11
the first
too
time.
High.
Yeah. I think it's only
it's the sixth time in the last 18 years.
I think it's the first time three rookies are in the playoffs all at the same year.
Could be.
Yeah, it could be.
Quarterbacks, yeah.
Because you know,
a lot of other rookies.
Well, and then there's three more.
Yeah.
Second year guys.
Yes, right.
I'm gonna.
And Colin Kaepernick's really kind of a rookie, right? I mean, he didn't play at all last year.
He didn't start until this year,
right? He's like Brady, and almost the same as Brady
in 01. Yeah. I'm gonna take Seattle to win too because I do think they are the better. Overall, better team, too. I don't feel very good about it, though, because of the run that Washington's been on. But what was the number? Oh,
three.
By three? Yeah, I'll take the Seattle to win and to cover. I think they'll win by maybe 10 points.
Yeah, I think
somewhat
of Washington a lot like I think of Indianapolis. I think they're not as good as the record would indicate. I think Seattle is a better team. My fear is what Andy said. Seattle on the road does not play anywhere near the same. And I don't know how they're going to show up and play. I think they were three and five. I think on the road.
But I think a little better of late. I mean, they beat the Bears, but that doesn't really count, right? They went into Chicago.
That was a good win, but like, didn't they just beat St. Louis? And I don't know who played in that game, so I don't know how I'm judging that. But that was kind of a unimpressive win. I'll take Seattle. I just think they're better.
You know those NFC West games, Paul. They're tight.
This is more an anti-Washington pick than a pro-Seattle pick. But Seattle is kind of, listen, they've scored points. And that's – I was very anti-Seattle all year because I thought you can't win with just defense.
Because they were from the NFC West.
They're scoring points, and I have to give them credit. I got to give Pete Carroll a lot of credit. I think the way he handled Russell Wilson, even starting him in the first place over the guy that you paid – Matt Flynn, to me, was a gutsy decision and one that he obviously felt strongly about. Give him credit.
And, Freddie, before you make your pick, speaking of Seattle, do you know who's in the building today?
Steve Largent.
Come on,
Seattle!
Yeah, he walked by my office earlier.
You see? Yeah. Chris Berman. All right, this is a tough pick. I think the most intriguing game of the weekend.
When is this?
What?
When is it?
It's the last game of the weekend.
Sunday at 4?
Yeah, 4:30, whatever it is, yeah.
I'm going to go with Washington to win the game. I like Seattle, but it's in Washington. I think that's the biggest factor for me.
Yes, we know where Seattle is.
If it was in Seattle, I think I'd be picking.
It is. It's in Washington, Seattle.
I think I'd be picking Pete Carroll's team, but I'm going to go with the Redskins. So in my book, the two NFC team home teams win and the two AFC road team win.
Ooh. Okay,
it's going to be the exact opposite.
It could be. I don't know. Who knows? You know. So that's it, and we'll find out maybe as early as Saturday who the Patriots' opponent is. If Houston wins,
that's it.
It's automatically them. That's it.
Rematch round.
So
whoever they play,
round two.
I'm hoping that Houston doesn't win. You know.
Now, why is that? Just to get a lesser seed?
No, just to make it more interesting for the weekend to wait. Have to wait to find out who they play.
Do you know what we do, right?
I'm not a,
like, you know, we have to do a preview and we have to work.
I mean,
and
I'm
nice
all in on
we
Houston for that reason and that reason only. I want Houston to win just so I can get that out of the way.
And he wants it to go down to the wire as late as possible.
No, let it be.
Let's not start the paper until midnight on Sunday and see if we can get it to the printer in time.
Let's have Cincinnati win and then have Indy Baltimore go to seven overtimes
so we
can wait as long as we can to get to work.
It's all part of the fun. It's all part of the fun. John Rooks here. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
How you doing?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Fryer's struggling, huh?
What's that?
Fryer's struggling a bit, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened last night?
Let's
Louisville,
see.
Right?
Had a 10-point lead. They blew and lost by 18.
Wow.
Okay.
Otherwise known as a Bill Cohen. Go ahead.
Wow. Spoken like a true bitter fan.
Yes.
Bill Cohen, check.
Bill Cohen, check.
So, John, what are you going to be doing this weekend for the playoff games? You got basketball to call or something?
There is some basketball to call, yeah. But I will be watching front and center just like everybody else.
Okay. Who would you...
What's the game that you have to see?
Yeah. Of the four.
I don't think there is one over the weekend. I got to be honest.
No, no, but I think I'm most interested in Houston because I think it could end up being Houston. So I think I'll probably end up watching the Texans.
And who would you prefer the Patriots to play?
Houston.
Houston, really?
Yeah.
You think they're playing that poorly?
I think that the Patriots will be able to beat Houston. Yeah, I do. I feel maybe it's only because they'd be a little bit more predictable. I don't think they'd be able to throw the Patriots any curveballs that they wouldn't be ready for. Whereas Cincinnati, for instance, you have the element of the unknown and an element of surprise in a sense. Indianapolis less so, if it should turn out that way. So, yeah, I think Houston's probably the pick, from my vantage point.
Okay. Well, you'll have 2 hours to discuss that with John Rook.
But it's Game Show Thursday, Fred.
Oh, right. You have some prizes.
I didn't know we had a game show Thursday.
You have some prizes on Game Show Thursday.
Can we give Eric away?
And then at 4 o'clock, footballnation.com. So sick, another full day of Patriots.com radio. As for us, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.